Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, he
is. Is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
Don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get the park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school. What? Or a Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know what?
Who let the dogs out? Who?
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out? I don't know who did, but it's raining cats and dogs here in New England. Fred's not here today. He's out building the ark, I think.
What happened to your rim
shot? Blah, 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 blah.
What? I thought that could have been the earliest. Doc's obviously not on his game today.
No.
Lunch isn't here yet. You done? Taking offense?
Well, when
already?
When
30 seconds.
Paul in Foxborough is not happy when lunch is late.
By the way, Paul's back.
I am back.
Paulie's here. The last show, you weren't here. Still recuperating.
The last two shows I missed.
Yeah, recuperating from your surgery. Andy's here. Doc's in the booth.
No Fred.
Not getting it done as usual.
I don't feel like I've returned
Fred.
Until Fred's here.
No Tomash, who's out somewhere trying to get lunch for us because the listeners didn't come up for us today. But that's okay. Paulie Perillo stepped up. How you feeling there, fella?
Doing all right. How you feeling?
I'm doing okay, too. I just came back from the doctor.
Yeah.
Had a little post-surgery follow-up. Everything's A-okay.
That's good.
Clean bill of health.
I get my stitches out tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that.
Do you? Get to change that boot at all?
I don't know.
That don't Bledsoe know
that
boot?
Works. It is a Bledsoe boot, as Eric posted on the blog. I wasn't aware of that. Honestly.
I know. You were legitimately thrown for a loop by
but
that.
I went home and I was talking to my wife about it, and evidently we had a conversation about this post-op. As I was in, you know, whatever, recovery, mm-hmm. whatever area of the hospital I was in, she actually said that that's a Bledsoe boot. And evidently, we had a conversation about it. I pulled an Andy. I had an operation, and I couldn't remember anything.
What kind of script did they give you for pain meds or anything?
He's going to jump my butt.
So were you on those when you were having that conversation?
I don't think I had any at that point, no.
No?
You got any left over?
Oh, yeah, plenty.
Good. I got all my bikes left over.
I should talk to
Kazier
about that. See what kind of street value they have.
Jesus,
what? I thought that was out
back.
There. I thought that was out there.
I think you can get 20 a pill.
Dollars?
Well,
or 20 large.
It is. I mean, it is oxy. I mean, it's pretty potent stuff. But
I would just save it.
I didn't have.
I'm a big fan of saving them for the occasional. Oh, I threw my back out. You take a couple. You
see,
feel
I would
better.
Never do that.
Oh, I do.
I would be so afraid that that's
Why?
Not really what it's for.
Yeah, plus, you don't know if you'll get hooked on the stuff.
Well, I know I wouldn't because I don't take enough of anything like that, except for Miller Lite, to get
right. And we know you're not hooked on those. But everything's okay. You're using two crutches right now, and you have the boot.
Yeah, I'm hoping tomorrow that I get a little bit of a plan going forward, mm-hmm. you know, after the X amount of days, I can do
get
this.
Get rid of one crutch?
Yeah, yeah.
X number of weeks, get rid of both crutches?
I like to know, like, when rehab starts and stuff like that.
Yep.
You know, speaking of, you know, detox and everything, when my rehab starts.
Right, not that kind of rehab.
I want to see what, you know, I want to be able to you know, check off the days, see if with light at the end of the tunnel, because right now I can't put really any weight on it at all. I'm only supposed to put like 25 to 50 pounds of pressure on the foot.
That's the weight of the foot itself.
But that's
that
in
guy like you.
But that's in the boot. That's while I'm immobilized in the boot. With the boot off, I don't put any pressure on it at all, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I said it.
Yeah, I got you.
A little Rocky III
reference.
The worst scene ever. Them running on the beach, Rocky and Apollo in the race with the tight shorts and the homoeroticism. Worst scene ever.
Gayer than the volleyball and top
addiction?
Very similar, Andy. Well done right there.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address if you want to contribute to this nonsense. 508-543-7482. The phone number if you actually want to call and talk to us today on this ridiculously rainy start to the week. We've had record rainfall this month already, and now we're adding to it. There are schools and businesses closed, delayed because of all the rain and flooding, which we're not really not, you know, we're used to getting snow and having cancellations, but the rain is really, really affecting us. And then by the end of the week, it's going to be 60s and sunny.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be beautiful.
For the whole beautiful Easter weekend. So I guess we're paying for it now, but we'll see the benefits later. Anyway, since the last show, news-wise, football-wise, Patriots-related, what's happened? Anything? I don't think we've really had anything of significance take place since the last show.
I don't think there's been any news or anything like that. We had an opportunity to talk to Sammy Morris today.
Did you?
I went down and spoke
with
him.
Who's we? You and your crutches?
Well, there were a lot of people there.
How come you didn't go down for him?
I had no interest.
Yeah, but the guy's barely able to make it from the parking lot to the office.
I'm under the video gun.
I think the true colors were shown right there. I think Andy said, you know what? I had to do SPFW for him last week. I had to do that for him this week. Uh-huh. I had to do that this week. No, I'm writing all the stories.
Done.
I've had enough.
I got video to watch.
Actually, in Andy's defense, he's got to prep for Saturday.
That's right.
I know.
That's true.
Because
this production has turned into spiraling out of control.
We should talk about that a little bit. Can we talk about that?
I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Yes,
we can.
Okay. So the team is having a pre-draft party, I guess.
Season ticket holders
this Saturday evening. That's correct?
Yes.
And Andy Hart's going to be a part of it. But the team isn't actually orchestrating it or producing it.
The team is, but ESPN's involved, and they took over for portions, and then Doc and Matt Smith had to clean it up, and it's a bit of a debacle. The original email from
Doc
Fred Kirsch said...
And Matt Smith have to
clean
up ESPN's
doors open at 5... Now? Program from 6 to 7:30.
Don't sound so shocked.
You'll be on the stage for a portion of that. Now I have to be here at 2:30, and I'll be here till after 8.
You don't have to be here at 2:30.
That's what I told him yesterday upstairs.
Don't you like the fact that Eric gave him his blessing? You don't have to be here at
2:30. Who's got a church commitment.
I do.
And Paul, who's, I don't know.
What is it you want me to do?
Paul is infirm at the moment.
Plus, you guys went to the combine. That's why you were involved.
Yeah.
See, Paul was... foreshadowing. He knew that if he went to the combine, he could have got tapped to do this event, so he decided to stay home.
He's never been to the combine. It's never even been on his radar as a possibility that he would go.
I think
let's move past that.
But I think this particular event that Andy's going to be a part of on Saturday, I think is a pretty cool event to do. I wouldn't mind doing it. Yeah. I'm not qualified to do it right now. I don't have the knowledge that these guys have. But
I'm not so sure.
I think it's a pretty good event.
We'll see. See what kind of food they have.
And who else?
I resign.
Who else is going to be
rubbing
part
elbows
of this whole
with
thing?
The ESPN Monkey
Michael
Musk.
Smith will be emceeing. Todd McShay, Teddy Bruschi, and Mike
Teddy
Reese.
Teddy Bruschi, Arizona.
Todd McShay will be doing his crap, and then Bruschi, Reese, and I will be on some sort of Patriots-related draft panel.
Giving actual substantive analysis?
Well, I will be. I can't vouch for the other two.
Wow. A little venom there.
No, not at all. No.
Honesty.
I just can't promise what they're going to say. I mean, I think Bruschi will be good, whatever he discusses. You know, I doubt he'll break down Ricky Sapp, but I'm sure he'll bring interesting notes to the table as a guy who was, A, drafted in the third round, B, was a converted pass rusher, what's he going to play in the NFL, which is obviously interesting, and he played for Belichick for decades.
I hope Bruschi's first question is to break down Ricky Sapp, and then all
he won't. He'll say, you know, I think that's Todd's area. I'm sure he would pass it off, but I think he will be very interesting.
Think that's Todd's area?
He is going to be, I know for a fact because I am planting this topic in the program, he is going to be asked about the outside linebacker in New England, the whole 6'4", 4'6" versus production, and kind of what, because he is kind of the production guy who didn't have the measurables to be when he was going to be in the NFL.
He's the poster child for that.
He played outside linebacker for a little bit in that transition from...
He was a defensive end in college.
Well, he was a D-tackle in college, kind of that transition where he moved out, up, and then back into the middle in the up way. But I just think, you know, played with Vrabel and McGinnis, who are kind of the ideals for the spot in terms of measurables. So I think, to me, that's the most interesting thing that's going to take part in the program, is having him kind of break that down. But it should be a fun event. I mean, McShay's good. He's obviously got the TV charisma. Should be an interesting event. I wish it wasn't scheduled to take up the entirety of a beautiful spring day.
It's supposed to be really, really nice.
Yes, I know. Why don't you tell me again?
It's supposed to be very nice.
Well, you know what? I'll be able to go out on Sunday. You'll still be in a boot.
That's true, but it'll be 80 degrees.
Now, there's venom, in there. There is venom in that response there.
I do need to have an NFL-related topic,
I know, right?
Timely topic to bring up. I just want to congratulate the St. Louis Rams. Waking up this morning knowing that the search is over, you have a franchise quarterback, you are set at the position for the next 10 to 15 years.
This is just getting sickening, though, with his man crush on this,
well,
this guy.
And I'm right. I just wanted to point out. I'm right. Because everybody was worried about his workout.
I'm talking higher.
And then now everybody's raving about Gil Brandt, says it's the best pro day for a quarterback he's seen since Troy Aikman, and Aikman's was the best he's ever seen. Through report 60 to 100 balls, not one was uncatchable. The only one that hit the ground was a flat drop on a perfectly thrown slant.
A quick question. It was his throwing shoulder that was injured
this
past year, correct?
He is fine.
He's completely fine. Yeah.
It was the AC joint.
I will say,
it wasn't like a torn rotator cuff or something of that nature.
I don't pay attention to a ton of the pro day stuff, but you do read the synopsis sometimes of the different guys. And I can't remember really a more glowing recap than the one that Sam Bradford got yesterday.
It was
pretty much everybody.
It was, universal.
Now, I've seen some good ones, and I know that they lather it on pretty good, and I kind of dismiss the ball never touched the field. Peter King has written that a lot about different guys. Well, the ball should never touch the field. We've seen
how
a little 7-on-7 drills out of practice. The ball almost never touches the field in those either.
Rohan Davey?
Are you really going to compare the first overall pick to the draft to Rohan
Davey?
Okay,
I'll give it to you again. I bet you when Jamarcus Russell does 7-on-7 in training camp, they don't say, the ball never touched the ground, he was the number one overall pick.
Okay, touche.
Thank you. Not touché. McShay, but touche. McShay, by the way, loved Jamarcus Russell.
Andy 1, Paul 0.
And Andy 1, McShay 0, because he liked Jamarcus Russell. And I did not.
Just noticed Doc shaved the goatee. I was wondering what was different.
Last week.
Yeah, I just noticed it now.
You get that message from Freddie Kirsch, by the way, about the schedule?
No.
2-4 is fine?
No, he never wrote me back.
Yeah, he says 2-4 is fine on that Sunday.
Jackpot.
So to let the listeners know, because that's a little
Sunday?
Of an update. I'm sorry, on Saturday, not Sunday.
I ain't coming on Sunday.
I was going to say.
The whole draft thing has got me confused.
Every long week, there's a short week.
The listeners have been asking us now for quite some time, what's our schedule going to be like for the draft shows?
Draft shows.
We'll do 2 hours each day. Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. We'll do 9 to 11, did we say? 9 to 11 on Friday.
Yeah, okay.
Saturday, we were going to do, I believe, 6 to 8.
You're still a day in advance.
Thursday, 9
Thursday's
to 11.
Thursday, 9 to 11.
Okay.
Friday, I think you said 6 to 8.
Doesn't know when the draft is.
Saturday.
Who's going to be drafted?
Saturday, 2 to 4. Well, I'm not planning on being here, so I don't feel like I know.
Oh, my God.
Believe me, we're not planning on
combine,
you being here.
No draft.
We're used
to it. Shut up. Anyway, we will do 2 hours each day, and more than likely that middle day, the Friday.
Yes, well done. Good.
When we have the 3 second round picks, if it works out that we're not going to make all the picks while we're on the air, we'll probably hang around until we make the third pick, provided that we haven't traded out.
So we're flexible.
There's no reason to do that.
Flexible off time.
Certainly, we want to be on the air for the first round pick on Thursday. We want to be on the air for all the picks that we make on Friday, whenever they happen to take place.
Right.
With the second, and right now we don't have a third rounder, so there's definitely some wiggle room there for adjustments. And on Saturday, it'll be more of a recap.
All right.
With as many picks as we can get in there, but I don't think we feel the need to be around for five seventh round picks.
So
which they have right now.
At least 6 hours of PFW in progress programming for draft weekend.
Right, right.
And that does mean we're not doing a normal Thursday noon to 2.
Right.
Yes.
Word.
But for the draft shows, we will be able to take phone calls this year. So you
first
can call us up.
And PFW
in progress
history. Which ought
to be really interesting from 9 to 11 on Thursday night.
Well, we'd
give out that number again if anybody wants to call.
It could be 6 to 8 on the West Coast. It could be.
Right,
I mean, we're global. Don't be so close-minded that it's nighttime.
I'm not talking about. No.
Where we are, it's always the middle of the day.
You're missing my point completely.
It's like it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
We're going
right.
Thinking!
It's 2 o'clock somewhere, Paul.
I'm thinking in terms of a lot of hardcore Patriots fans sitting around watching the draft
getting
at
drunk.
9 o'clock at night.
Yep. On a Thursday.
Oh.
Picking up the phone and what we might actually
Let's
get.
Let's be honest. Many of our listeners drink.
Maybe I just drink to get
all day
drunk.
Long.
That's true.
Especially the Pauls, Peters, and McCormick's
so
and everybody.
We've sort of treaded through that before.
Ireland? What was that?
Ireland. I struggled.
Struggling. So that's some of the bookkeeping stuff. Sammy Morris, I mentioned.
Yeah.
So
what did
he
have
lot,
to say?
Not a whole lot to report there. We asked him a little bit about the theme of the offseason so far has been pretty clear. Everybody's
leaders
talking
about wanted.
Team building, leadership, chemistry, whatnot.
Now, is he going to make the year 12 jump to becoming a great leader or whatever year he's in?
God, he didn't say anything about being a leader, by the way.
Good.
In terms of himself. He likes the dynamic they have in the backfield, obviously, with the committee approach.
I was going to say.
Well, yeah, and I actually asked him, you know, about the draft and talking about some of the draft stuff. Do you ever watch? And, you know, are you like the fan? Well, they drafted a running back. Why they drafted a running back? You know, he says he doesn't pay attention to it. He never even knows.
Sure, he does.
He knows he's going to have.
Yeah, I don't believe it when players
he knows he's
going
to have. New teammates when they
right.
hit the practice.
Yeah, but what if he doesn't have new teammates? What if he has no teammates?
Just giving you his answer.
Yeah, and then when he retires, we'll ask him just like Teddy Bruschi, and he'll give us the real
answer. Fred Taylor, not here, by the way, still in Florida, working out on his own.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Excuse me. Asked him about the overtime thing. He didn't really have strong opinions on that, on the format, but like we have mentioned in the past and I'm sure you guys talked about last week, just would like to see it for the whole season. Doesn't understand.
And it sounds like we're going to.
Doesn't understand why the postseason and not the regular season. If it's worth doing, you do it all the way. The argument against that is player safety, which I think is a bunch of nonsense. You know, this is, you know, just to kind of attack that statement because that was a follow-up question. The idea behind that, the owners say, it's player safety, you know. They don't want to put you guys through because we talked a little bit about the CBA and some of the ramifications of that, and he was kind of noncommittal about that. This is the same organization, the owners, that have been lobbying hard recently for an added game.
Yeah, right. Or two.
So what's more stressful on the
right.
body?
Right.
Playing an extra 3 minutes of overtime one day or another whole game? So it's disingenuous at best.
Yeah,
but paying the 3 minutes of overtime doesn't bring in any more money. An extra game brings in more money for ownership.
It's true.
Thank you, Andy, which is why I deemed it disingenuous at best.
The other issue about...
I also don't think players really care, personally. I don't think a lot of players feel like if I play an extra 2 minutes of overtime, I'm going to get hurt.
Yeah.
I think they're all bargaining chips both sides of the aisle, so to speak, in this whole process.
Right. I think the other issue that needs to be resolved, or if it has been resolved, at least communicated that it's been resolved, is the whole, all these different scenarios that we keep getting emailed to us from fans about, well, what if there's an onside kick to start the overtime?
It all counts, right? These are all possessions.
It sounds like it is, yeah. So it sounds like if the team that kicks off gets the onside kick, that counts as a lost possession for the other team. So if they go and kick a field goal right off the bat, then the game would end, that kind of thing. It sounds like that's the case, but I don't think the league has done a good enough job maybe explaining that
that's
is
crazy.
The case. I think maybe they
when
need
you
to
guys
iron that
this,
out a little bit more.
When you guys discussed this last week, what was the overall tenor of the feedback from our
guys?
Yeah,
I don't
we
think
didn't get a whole lot.
Really, so after all the talk that the overtime
Crap.
Got, we didn't really have people caring about it either way?
Because it wasn't broke in the first place.
Well, that's how I feel. I mean, I don't feel
there
like...
There's no need to fix it.
First of all, I think that there's only two ways to go, either the way it was or a whole period. They obviously weren't going to do that. I don't think this is a good solution, but I'm surprised that people didn't have opinions on it. That's all.
I think it's another case where the commissioner has decided to embrace an issue that really didn't need embracing. You know, there wasn't really an outcry from the fans or from players or from coaches that overtime's broken, we need to fix it. It just kind of seemed like a wasted effort.
Well, it sounds like it's out of fear.
Effort.
Everybody fears that a Super Bowl is going to end and then that's going
to
be.
I don't know why they're fearful. I don't know what's
but
so
who cares?
Bad about that.
That would be a great ending to a Super Bowl.
Could you imagine anything more exciting than, I mean, can you imagine, you know, What if there was a walk-off home run in this in the World right. Series?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
And there has been.
I mean, that's
what?
Basically
people
what it
will
is.
Talk about it for 10 days afterwards?
I know.
God forbid.
Right.
I mean,
or for decades afterwards?
That's what it is.
I just, everybody says it's the Vikings' Brett Favre rule, and they didn't vote for it. They voted against it. Four teams
right.
voted against it, and
they were
one
of them.
Minnesota. And supposedly yeah. they're the team that it's put in place for because they got hope.
And I told you, you know, in watching, because, you know, just sitting around last week and, you know, watching some of the NFL Network stuff and some of the analysis, I forget who said it, but one of them said, one of the guys said that this is a powder keg, that the NFL, that's how we described it. It's a powder
not
keg.
Not even close.
The NFL has been sitting on
no.
and avoiding having a playoff game or a Super Bowl come down to a coin flip. First of all, it doesn't come down to a coin flip. It
right,
never comes down to a coin flip.
The team still has to execute.
And I just
heard that Goodell was using an example. That a team with a great, because everybody says you can play defense, but a team with a great kickoff return unit would have such a great advantage because they return it to the 40 or 45 yard line. So are you saying a team shouldn't work to have a great kickoff return unit? Like,
right, like why is that cheap?
That,
why is that cheap?
That's not, you know, yeah.
If you return the kick to the 45 yard line.
Yeah, good for you.
Good for you.
That's a good play.
Like, and that was an example he used of not being fair, because then they only had to go like 25 yards, kick a field goal, game over. Well, yeah, but they have a strength on their team that happens to help them in overtime.
Exactly.
Why should we disregard that or make rules?
The average
that?
Start for an NFL team can't possibly be any greater than the 31-yard line.
I think it's actually about the 28.
I think it's the 28 yeah. and change.
So, I mean, that proves my point. So, why, I mean, all of a sudden, because it's overtime, we're just going to throw the term, well, you get it out to the 45-yard line. You
yeah.
only have to move.
Right.
Like, do I think it's an advantage to win the coin toss in overtime? Yes. It is. I think it increases your chance to win.
Sure. It doesn't guarantee it, though. I think that
but
weren't the percentages
football.
Close to 50-50?
I
think I saw that stat, that it's 50-50,
the winner
basically.
Of the coin toss in overtime
give or take a couple of
wins more than
points.
50% of the time.
53, right?
Something like that, yes.
Although it's
pretty
greater
close.
In the last 15
no, no,
years.
No, you win. No, you win on the first possession 53% of the time. There's a difference. The winner of the coin toss wins closer to 60% of the time. The winner of the coin toss wins on the first possession 53% of the
time.
But
all those numbers are greatly increased the last 15 years.
And their theory is when they move the kickoff back to the 30-yard line, the field position is greater. The kicking has been much more accurate
well,
over the last decade.
That. I think the kickers are better. They put their shoes on and don't kick barefoot anymore.
Yeah. I do think it's an advantage, and there's no question. I think it's an advantage. But it's football. That's what you do. You have a coin flip to decide who gets the ball at the start.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really
Bill
understand.
Always say? All things are never equal. They shouldn't be. That's why it's a great sport. There's matchups. There's strengths and weaknesses.
And the reason I don't like it, that's why I would be an advocate of the full 15-minute period, and whoever's ahead at the end of that wins. I don't like and I know like you guys probably got into this, so we don't need to continue on it, but I don't like the solution they came up with, because I think it's almost too much weighted to the team that gets the ball second.
It's overthinking it too. There's it's just it's too much.
You know, the first
it's
team,
like Obama's healthcare bill.
The
it's
first
too much
team that the team that wins the toss if they get the ball, they can't win on a field goal. But the team that gets the ball second can win on a field goal.
Well,
like that. There's inequity to that. To
well, the
me.
First
like
team, the team can win on a field goal. The team that gets it first can win on a field goal.
Not
if
sudden
they,
death.
No, not sudden
team,
death.
The second team can.
Right, not sudden death, but they can win on a field goal.
But not
just,
the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, I don't think it's a terrible rule. I think it's fine. I think we'll get used to it. I don't think it's a major problem they created. But I kind of agree with Eric. I think it's something that wasn't broken. That they're trying to fix.
And I don't think we're going to see it
I don't
all
think
that much.
I don't think this is any better. Let's put it that way.
How many overtime games do we get a season anyway?
It's one a week, basically.
Yeah.
I think it averages like 17 per year.
I would think.
Including playoffs?
I was going to say at least 10, but that's even more.
Because it seems like the playoffs almost never go into overtime. It just happens to be regular season games, which is kind of
well, they've had, what was it? Is it 27 playoff games, I think, have gone into overtime since the merger. And only four of those, I believe, were won on the first possession. Coin toss, bang.
Snowball was one of them, right?
NFC Championship that recently was completed was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
and yet the team that got screwed didn't vote for it.
Well, yeah. The other thing about that, too, like, people talk about this, well, look at this, the Snow Bowl. Well, I got to tell you something. The Patriots were going to score a touchdown if they wanted to on that possession. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing is a lot of times teams stop trying to move the ball in overtime when they get into field goal range. You know, this whole thing where they didn't score a touchdown, they could have probably if they wanted to. You know, the Denver Broncos in the game against the Patriots this year, just so I'm not – I'll take both sides of it. One pro Patriots in the Snow Bowl. I think the Patriots were down inside the 10-yard line, Andy, if I recall. Remember? I mean,
it was a
23-yard field goal. Right. I think they would have just barreled right into the end zone had they wanted to.
Right.
They chose not to.
They just wanted to get it over with.
Denver, for example, this year out at Invesco, mm-hmm. I think they got inside, you know, around the 20-yard line, and they pulled back and said, okay, we're in field goal range here. Let's not do anything stupid. I think they would have scored a touchdown had they wanted to. If they had to, they would have. So I don't think it's going to be – I think you're still going to see first possession wins.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're going to see just as almost as often.
Just a little cross-nation information here to Red Sox Nation, because this is news to me on the scroll. Apparently the Red Sox are very close to an extension for Josh Beckett. According to Buster, only 4-year deal is imminent.
Screw the Sox. Let's talk some football.
The opposite. I didn't really read anything yesterday, but I heard him talking about how they weren't willing to go 5 and this was going to be an issue. And now a day later, it sounds like it's done.
Well, yeah, actually, Tony had mentioned something about that on the Tony Maz, who there's a new, I don't know if people know that. We have two sports stations now, which is kind of different. But he had mentioned that that would probably get done because it seemed like the money was too, unless the Red Sox just flat out don't want him. And they're doing one of those, we'll offer him this because we know he won't take it things. He thought it would get done. But we'll see.
Boy, they really wasted a lot of time yesterday talking about it then.
Yeah, I agree.
Because if it's just going to be get done, then why are you debating it? Yeah. Boy, that's a terrible show. No offense, guys. I know you try. But.
And here we are wasting time talking about their decision to waste time debating it.
Well, we have a terrible leader at the helm today. The lack of direction is, you know, Brady goes down and Brian Hoyer steps in. He wasn't quite ready.
Right. I do kind of resemble Brian Hoyer.
You do.
I've been told. All right.
Would draft Mike Kafka as a developmental quarterback.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com. We'll be back after this.
Listeners all over the world are discovering PFW in progress.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is this?
Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game, 5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance. Hit up the PFW guys at 508-543-7482 or email webradio at patriots.com.
And that's what we're going to do, starting off this segment in honor of Paul Perillo's return from surgery. We have a couple of emails, I don't want to say well-wishing emails because the first one doesn't really wish you well. Subject line, unfortunately, Paul is back. Take a guess on who that emailer is.
I know who that's got to be from.
It's our
There's
friend,
only one guy.
Fred.
Andy Hart.
William Berry. It's got to be William Berry.
Wait, I have four different names tossed out about there. A lot of suspects, but yes, it's William Berry.
World's worst emailer.
And he writes, he writes to Fred, Andy, and Eric. Fred, who's not here today, I was going to ask you to step up your games to make up for Paul's absence. Eric, you could be the bald one. Fred, you could be the fat one. Andy, this is tough, sorry, but I think you can handle it. You'd have to argue with Fred like Northeastern basketball and hate the fans. Doc, you'd have to get a replacement to eat like Paul. Can I suggest Belgium? Maybe Honduras would work cheaper. You decide. Unfortunately, Paul's back. In a way, it's a good thing. I'm not sure how, but it
the
has to
country?
Have an upside, right? Yeah, I think that's what he was going for, the whole country. On to the Patriots. Do you guys think they'll trade to get a 3 by maybe giving up the tradable 7th, the tradable 6th, and a Dallas Thomas? Is that enough, or does it need a 5th, too? And that's Bill Berry writing in.
I think there's a good chance they'll make a trade into the third round.
Yeah, to
close the gap.
I think so, too.
But
I don't think
anybody's going to
want
a
Dallas Thomas.
Is a detriment to a trade.
I agree.
I think if you're working a phone conversation, mm-hmm. and you say, how about a Dallas Thomas? They go, and what else are you adding? Because to me, it's not a positive for the team they're getting.
Unless
everywhere I read, he's not wanted here, according to Pro Football Focus, which Fred mocked me for bringing up weeks ago, and now everybody on the planet uses it. He's the worst linebacker in the NFL, and he makes a lot of money. Why do I want that on my team?
The only team I could conceive of that happening with would be Seattle, if they did a swap for a Branch.
Well, we talked about that here.
But theoretically,
Branch
is more valuable.
But it's salaries.
He's had injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be
salary. He's not a locker room detriment.
But are you, I'm interested in that website that you just talked about, Andy. They graded him out to be the worst linebacker or one of the worst linebackers.
Yeah, it had to do with tackling and percentages and numbers. And
yeah, that's interesting because that's not a lot of people have really bashed him strictly from a physical standpoint. It's been more so off the field mm-hmm. in the immaturity and the nonsense that he has brought to the locker room, and he certainly did last year anyway.
Which right. I still think is really ironic because when he got here, he was Mr. Humble Pie. He was the locker room leader.
Something
he was getting
happened.
A T-shirt.
Something happened because he changed, and I wonder if maybe he was a selfish guy by nature and was really kept in check by Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel, and those guys.
Yeah.
And then maybe his true colors came through. Or he was a good guy who just didn't take well to the Patriots way. Let's face it. We talk about the Patriots way in very positive terms mm-hmm. here. We all work here, and we know and we've seen the benefits of the quote-unquote Patriots way.
Yep.
Maybe that wasn't for Adalys Thomas, and maybe that worked against him. But I always go back and talking about him, and Andy, you remember the same thing, to that Ray Lewis radio thing the first year. Ray Lewis went up one side of Adalys Thomas and down the other. And a lot of the things that he said, I thought, even at the time when we were undefeated, were accurate. I about all this versatility and stuff. I never really bought into the whole this guy can do anything, everything kind of scouting report. I thought he'd be a better outside linebacker than he has been. I was wrong. But I never bought into the he can line up outside and play against Chad Johnson. He can, you know, he can play safety. He can play inside. He can play outside. He can play down lineman. Guys that do all those things generally
safety,
to me
corner.
aren't really that good
running
at,
back.
At any one thing. And that was basically what Ray Lewis said that day. Remember, you yeah. know, we did not build a system around Adalius. I remember he kept yeah. saying Adalius Thomas. You know, he, and he was very adamant and yeah. Articulate and power. He was passionate about that. He was really upset.
A few things that he's not passionate about when he talks.
Ray Lewis. I got to tell you something. Ray Lewis is a guy, and I don't like Ray Lewis. I don't agree with, you know, the whole I'm on the record with that. I wouldn't want him on my team because of what he did. But you watch that guy get his team riled up and
it
whatnot.
Works. Yeah, no.
He makes you. I mean, remember in
we saw that in the playoff
game.
We
all sat there. The three of us looked at each other when we saw him getting that routine going in the end zone. And Andy, I think you were the first one. Andy, you looked. You're like, ruh-roh. It was like they came to play.
Yeah, it's
this
infectious.
Is not the Jacksonville Jaguars that are about to take the field.
Right.
They came here to win this game. And he's one of those guys. He's. I mean, you talk about leadership voids. There ain't no leadership void with him.
Yeah. One more Paul-related email before we get to
oh,
the
nice.
Phones. This is from Dana, the tree counter. In
oh,
Colorado.
Yes.
Remember that we met him out
What's
in the
latest number?
It says, hey, fellas, Paul, I had knee surgery last January and was non-weight-bearing for 6 weeks. When I started rehab, they told me I should have been doing exercises the whole time to prevent muscle atrophy. The doctor forgot to tell me that, so my leg was considerably smaller in size on already skinny legs and way out of shape, making my rehab even more difficult. Just something to keep in mind. Keep it up. Dana the Tree Counter from Gunnison.
Yeah, thank you for that advice, Dana. And that is something my doctor did mention. And I've been doing a little, you know, like the little leg lifts. I don't know if that is helping
you
much.
You didn't have much to atrophy anyway.
Does that help with you?
Oh, yeah.
My legs aren't small.
No, they're fat.
No, they're not.
Atrophy is muscle.
Just so mean.
It's funny because he's fat.
John in Dallas, what do you want to bring to this conversation today?
How about a brain?
What's that?
Nothing good.
Nothing
oh,
good?
Come on. Come on.
I think Wes Welker's getting plenty of workouts at the Playboy Mansion.
Wow. You can tone down the volume on the rim shot, too, Doc. It's a little loud.
So, you know, I think you guys were talking about email, about trading into the third, packaging a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
AD.
Possibly.
So you don't think AD would be attractive to really any team given his,
no.
His current contract?
Not just this contract, but like Paul said, the perceived air of a malcontent. Why would you want to bring that into your locker room?
So if he stinks on the field, he stinks in the locker room, and he makes a lot of money, what exactly is a team acquiring?
Yeah, true. So what are options? Cut him then.
Right.
Yeah.
He will be cut.
That's what we've been saying is
going
to
be cut. I would have done it a long time ago.
To be honest with you, I don't think cutting him is such a bad thing. I mean, I know a lot of people talk about getting some value for him or something for him, but if you cut him, and let's say the Jets pick him up, which is probably likely to go to the Jets, right? Because of his relationship.
Well, I'm sure they'd have interest in him.
Yes.
Sure.
Right? That potentially takes a defensive end slash outside linebacker off the board for the Jets. Right? They're looking to fill that defensive end spot or outside linebacker spot. Maybe that's one more person left in the draft for maybe us.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I get the theory. I don't think that if that's where they wanted to go early in the draft, that signing Adalius Thomas would stop that. But I mean, I know what your point is, and I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go early. I think they might go early in the draft, depending upon who falls. But I think they're actually – I think they're going to take Golden Tate in the first round.
Now, so, they being the Jets or the Patriots?
The Jets.
Really?
Not the Patriots. I don't think the Patriots will pick a receiver in the first round.
I don't
you think
either.
The Jets are going to go for Golden Tate?
I think so.
I think they could go for a receiver.
I think that, yeah. Well, I think a dynamic playmaker on the outside. I mean, they have the running game. They have the offensive lineman, although they are starting to get a little bit old.
I wouldn't be surprised if they went for an offensive lineman either.
Yeah. No, I mean, receiver is a glaring need. I mean, they have Braylon Edwards, but they certainly don't have a lot of depth. Very similar to the Patriots in that regard. They don't have a lot of depth at that spot.
The one thing that we know about the Jets is they're not afraid to be aggressive in the draft.
Right, yeah.
We could see them certainly moving up as well.
Yeah, and they've done it pretty successfully.
Yeah, yeah. They had one really bad one with, was it 04 with Dwayne Robertson?
Yeah, I think it was 04.
Well, maybe 03. Might have been 03. That one was a disaster. They gave up a lot to go up and get a guy who was
bust. Yeah, I think it was 03. Yeah.
But for the most part, the other moves they've made up have panned out for them. And certainly we'll have to wait and see what happens to Mark Sanchez, but I think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback. I mean, based on what I saw as a rookie, I you know, he certainly had some terrible games. We saw one here firsthand against the Patriots, but you know, he won some games for them. So that's what you have to do to get guys like to get in position to take players like that. You have to be aggressive, and they've done it.
So where are you guys on your market or your draft analysis?
What do you want to know? What do you got?
Andy and Eric are flying. Paul's done nothing.
What do you want to know? Throw me a name. Throw me a position. What do you got?
No, I want to know what you got.
In terms of what? That's kind of a broad question.
Yeah.
My lust of the day, and I think there is a conspiracy theory.
Your lust of the day is Sam Bradford.
We're not going to get Sam Bradford. He's the best quarterback, best player in the draft. He's whatever. We don't need a franchise quarterback.
Two questions
for you,
then.
Well, let me answer the first question.
Some people would disagree.
Brandon Spikes. I want him. I think they're going to get him. I'll be stunned if they don't. By all accounts, his value has dropped since he ran the 5-flat 40. But I think he would be the perfect fit next to Gerard Mayo. And if his value is truly down in the middle rounds and they don't take him, I think it'll be a terrible mistake on their part. Okay, go ahead.
Can I ask my two questions then?
Unbelievable.
Yes. Yes, go ahead, John.
Maybe.
No, but I appreciate that. I think they're going to. I think maybe Spikes is possible as well.
I think Bill told him on one of his trips to Gainesville.
But with
to
the 22?
Run a slow. No.
You're talking about with the 22?
Oh, no, God,
no.
No.
Okay.
He's now like a fifth-round pick.
Yeah,
okay.
Fourth round.
I mean, he's now a guy that slipped. I'll take him in the second because I think
I just want to make sure that's
I think
what
he's
you
a very
saying.
Good player. I think he's a leader. I think he is absolutely the perfect fit for what this defense needs.
Some places have him being a fifth-round pick right now.
No way. He's not going to get out of the second round.
I'm fine taking him in the second. I'll take him in the second, third, fourth, wherever I can get
Nobody
him.
Thought Everett Brown was going to slip out of the first round last year, and he did.
I would take Spikes, but I'd probably take him with our third pick in the second if we held on to it.
I'll take him with any of the second round picks. I think he makes
I don't think that 40
better.
At the pro day or the combine, the pro day was, I don't really put much stock in it. I mean, you're talking about clocking a guy from a standstill. Right, straight line speed. Big
well, the other issue he's facing is his production dipped for three consecutive years. He's got the Eugene Wilson syndrome.
He's trending the wrong way. Okay. I'm with you, John, on the 40. For me, it's about me. Andy and I talked about this before the show. It's about the position and inside linebacker. Sure, it's great if the guy flies around, but I don't think that's the number one job requirement. You know. Can he take on guards? Can he get through the trash
yes.
and make tackles?
He takes on guards better than McClain does.
Is he a sure tackler? Is he a physical guy that can plug the holes? And, you know, as long as he moves well enough in space, how often does your inside linebacker have to even get sideline to sideline, let alone run 40 yards? So, yeah, that's a little bit slower than I would like. But it's not like, to me, if you had a wide receiver that you liked and he ran a 4.7 or a 4.8 40, I'd be a little leery of taking him because – there are some positions that you just flat out have to be a certain amount of fast.
Mm-hmm.
Inside linebacker to me isn't one of them. It's nice. It would be a nice additional thing to have, but I think he can get by without it.
We were talking the other day, I think it was either on the podcast or on the show, about Sebastian Vollmer and how they picked up potentially their future left tackle in the second round last year and what that means for either Matt Light or Nick Kazier. And looking at the tackles in this year's draft, John, I'm not really impressed with any of them as much as I was compared to last year and some of the prospects that came in. Not to say that they can't get another good tackle in the second round, but I don't like the chances of that as much as I did a year ago. The guys that are the top tackle...
I think there's some really good tackle talent available in round two, and a guy in particular is Roger Saffold.
Is who? I'm sorry?
Roger Saffold.
Crickets.
S-A-F-F-O-L-D.
Crickets from my draft expert.
I don't think I have that one. I wasn't listening.
Roger Saffold.
Yep, Roger Saffold. Look out for him. I mean, he's roughly...
Tackle?
He's roughly Vollmer size.
Indiana. 6'5". Well, he's much smaller than Vollmer. 6'5", 312, which means he's probably more like 6'4", 300.
A couple inches shorter than Vollmer?
Yeah. Well, Vollmer's 6'8", easily.
Okay. But he's taller than Light, no?
I think Light 6'3" and change.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people actually thought Light was going to end up being a guard.
Right.
When he got drafted, I remember. But certainly, he's been good enough.
But as far as the top-end talent at that position, last year I remember a lot of the guys we said we made comments about said that they played with an edge or an attitude and they were very aggressive players. We're seeing that more in the guards in this year's draft than we are in the tackles, which is kind of...
Well, it's also inherent with the position, especially in college football, the spread offenses and the two-point stance. All your tackles do all day is pass protect and drop back. They never get the opportunity to fire off the ball and show some aggressive style of play, whereas guards... You know, some of those interior runs and things, they have more chance to do that.
Yeah, I think at the Pats, I don't think the Pats will take an offensive lineman in round one.
No. No.
I don't know.
Some people do believe that, though.
They did take one.
Pouncey people are all over.
Yeah.
Pouncey is probably the most versatile offensive lineman at the bottom of line one.
I'll vomit if they do that. Yeah, absolutely. Vomit all over my microphone. Yeah. If you do that, why are you re-signing Stephen Neal?
Right.
Are we going to run Logan Mankins out of town? Is that the issue? Right. He's the replacement for Mankins at guard?
And you're finally going to make a first-round pick, and you're going to use it on a
on a team that needs playmakers.
I didn't really think about it until you just said that, but I wonder.
What, running Mankins out of town, and he's the replacement?
Yeah.
No. I don't like that.
I don't like it either, but it wouldn't be unprecedented.
I don't like all these plans that are for the future. You know what I want to plan for? September, and I want planning more playmakers to be on the field to help me win this September, October, November, December.
And that's the flip side. You know, we can talk about that Richard Seymour trade, too, and we probably should discuss that, the latest rumor about Donovan McNabb now is, you know, a lot of people think that he's going
to
end up
going to
a Raider. If that happens, that makes that trade look a lot less attractive.
I think there's a lot of unknowns around that trade.
Yeah.
One of them is that the rookie pay scale, that's not guaranteed.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no guarantee on what the Raiders' record's going to be for next year.
Nope.
Honestly, I tell you what, I know everyone said this. This is one of the deepest drafts in recent memory. Right?
Yeah.
I think I would cash that 2011 chip in right now.
Yeah, I'm on the fence now. I wasn't because, the theory that the Raiders' pick could be a top five pick intrigued me. But if they get McNabb, and I didn't watch enough of the Raiders, but by all accounts, if they had some quarterback play, they're a team that could be pushing towards 500.
Well,
if that's going to be a middle-of-the-round pick, I'm not in love with it anymore.
I think they show that, every once in a while they play, and it's not just that they play and they upset someone, but they play good games like once or twice a month.
No, I know, but if you're going to be a 500 team, you've got to play good games consistently.
But what I'm saying is they never get good games from their quarterback.
Right.
Like the games that they won, they didn't win because Russell just played better that day. The rest of the team played that much better that day, and they were able to overcome the fact that their quarterback can't complete 50% of his passes. Gradkowski came in and won a couple of games, but let's face it, as much as you like him, Andy, he's not winning games.
No, but he brought stability to the position.
Right, but
can't bring to anything.
Right, and I agree with you. He's not losing games the way Russell was, but he's not winning them either.
No,
I think if you have McNabb there, and who knows what else to trade. We've heard guys like Asante Samuel involved in some trade rumors, and there's a lot of talk about him, wearing out his welcome in Philly, and he's not at their offseason program right now. Who knows? Mm-hmm. That, I think,
that's what superstars did. They didn't show up.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, evidently it's only a big deal if someone else's superstar doesn't show up. Uh-huh. No one cares about ours. But I agree with John. I think that I would really look hard at cashing that chip in now, John. I think that's a good point.
I would, because it gives us 4 second-rounders, right? And then, because I think that the 2011 first is probably equivalent to a second this year.
Well, that's the theory.
That's the general theory.
But I got to think that they would want more because it's the Raiders' pick. I think they might want more.
Yeah, maybe they would, but...
But you're right. That's the way they look at it. A second this year will get you a first next year. I mean, the Patriots have done that many times in the Belichick
era. Personally, I'd rather take 4 seconds this year. That gives me a ton of flexibility to do all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could, trade it and move up. I could...
Certainly should have no problem getting into the third round if you had...
Yeah,
they probably won't have any problem doing that now as it is, but you had a fourth-second-round pick. They have two gaps in the draft. One is, I believe it's 66 picks, and another one is 71 picks, where after their last second-round pick, they go all the way to the fourth round. It's a span of 66 selections. And then after that fourth rounder all the way into the sixth round, it's 71 picks.
Ooh.
Bill doesn't like those kinds of gaps in the draft, and I'll guarantee you.
Sitting back watching the parade go by.
The parade, you wave it as the parade goes by. I remember that from his very first draft when they didn't have a first-round pick.
Yep.
And they took Adrian Clem in the second. I think Bill will definitely work to rectify that as quickly as possible. And we probably won't see it until until draft week anyway, maybe just before the draft itself, but more than likely during the draft.
John, did you have two more questions before we blow you up?
Yeah, just it'd be interesting to get you guys' perspective. Do you think they'll keep the 22nd pick or trade down?
And, more likely to keep than trade down.
Likely to keep and trade down?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Andy on that.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why do you guys
I'd even hold out hope that they trade up.
Because I think there's value. I think there's talent in this draft. I mean, I'm just going by what these guys are telling me. You know, even Jonathan Kraft was raving about how deep this draft is. And let's face it, no disrespect to Jonathan, but he's getting that impression from his football
right.
people.
Yep.
You know, because I don't think that Jonathan has the time to be scouring the college tape, you know, and whatnot. So, by all accounts, it's so deep. I don't see how you want to trade down too much more.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I use what you just said as for the opposite. If there's so much talent in the top 50, and I've seen it where analysts have graded out the top 50, all first-round grades, if you trade down 3, 4, 5 slots and pick up a third in the process, why not?
Because you get 5 players worse.
Yeah.
I want Bill to take the 22nd best player in a draft that includes great players. I want him to be closer to the top as possible.
The best players theoretically
sick
are
of that
be
value
ta-
theory.
Yeah, the best players theoretically are going to be taking early. So that's why I wouldn't trade down.
Okay. So here's the second part.
So in other words, 22 was going to be a better player than that, you know, 49th guy. I don't care how many guys you have with first round values. The chances are 95% chance 22 is going to be a better player than 45.
Yeah, and I'd rather take that chance with that guy than to have a bunch of value guys.
And the money difference is minimal, so you can't even get that in there.
Yeah. But I'm not talking about the 45th or whatever pick. I'm talking about trading a 22nd for like a 28th.
Oh, but you're
like the damn pick.
Like six spots down. I don't think there's not a huge talent gap between the two.
I would agree with that, but I still would rather take the best guy available.
Well,
Okay,
hold on a second, John, because I'm doing a story for the next issue about trading up and trading down in the first round, and I'm going back over the decade that Belichick's been here and looking at other teams and how they've drafted and how they've traded up in the first round. You can make significant mistakes in the first round. One example would be the year that Reggie Wayne was drafted by the Colts.
Okay.
They traded down to get him at 30, and the Seahawks, I think in that same draft, traded down from like 7 to 9 to get Corin Robinson. Okay, so there is a significant talent drop-off, only sometimes it's inverted. Sometimes the worst player gets picked high, and the better player is picked lower.
Yeah,
in the draft.
I mean, I would argue there's not a talent drop-off between Corin Robinson and Reggie Wayne. There's an attitude drop-off.
Well,
but, I mean, you know, that's part of the equation.
Yeah.
That's part of the equation. I think they just, you know, that was a bad guy at NC State, and he was a bad guy in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a poor job by Seattle with Corin Robinson. But he could play.
All right, next question.
So if the consensus is that you guys would keep the 22nd.
Or move up, possibly.
Oh, so move up.
Yeah, if there's a guy who slips. Yeah,
the theme of this draft is playmakers.
If C.J. Spiller is still on the board at, like, 18, I think you try to make a move up to get him.
You want to move up.
How far would you move up?
It depends on the player,
I think.
For
who?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is a little crazy, but the guy that I love is Suh.
He's not going to be there.
Is who?
And Ndamukong Suh.
Oh, Suh?
He's not going
to
be there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to get up to the top 3 to get him.
And the
top 5 minimum.
It would take a lot. But that guy.
I'm not looking to go that high.
And I'm not looking.
Okay, so.
Is that value?
Maybe like 5, 6 slots up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who else? John, just out of curiosity, who else?
Yeah, C.J. Spiller is one I would definitely move up for. Maybe 5 slots.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Another guy I would probably move up a few slots for is Dan Williams.
USC wide receiver?
No, Dan Williams.
Yep.
Yeah, I think
I like Damian Williams, by the way, but probably not there.
Yeah.
If he can play the 5 technique, which I think he can, I think he would be the solution at Seymour's old spot.
I don't know. I'm not in love with that defensive end pick. I know there's a hole there.
It's a big hole.
But it's kind of a self-created hole. You traded Seymour, and you drafted Brace, who can't play, so now you're scrambling.
We still have to fill it.
Holes I think you have to fill. If Will Forks is as good as he's supposed to be and Warren's as good as he's supposed to be, then you need to get by with Brace, Wright, and Pryor filling the other defensive line spot. I don't think you can get by without adding a playmaker at wide receiver. I don't think you can get by without adding a tight end. I don't think you can get by without adding a pass rusher. Those are holes to me that can't be filled.
Well, they can get by without adding a tight end. They've done that for the last 5 years.
I don't think
you can. In this offense, I don't think you can. Because Ben Watson lined up a lot. He never produced, but he lined up a lot. He filled a role.
I will say, in your defense, without the wide receivers,
the tight end
absence is going to be more.
My D end is better. I don't care. I need a pass rusher. I can't get by without a pass rusher.
Your tight end absence is going to be more glaring without the wide receiver.
If Mike Wright's that bad, then why did we re-sign him? If Ron Brace is that bad, we shouldn't address.
But let's just say, for argument's sake, that what you say is true. Well, what if Brace is? What if he's not?
Then you need to sign a veteran who's just okay.
So if you've missed in the past, you can't try to fix it?
Not with the other needs you have, because you'll be filling one hole in the dike, and the four other big holes are just going to blow the dike up.
And I'm playing a little devil's advocate.
Careful,
because I also don't want to. I don't want to pick a defensive lineman.
We've got a lot of money invested in Wilfork and Warren.
I do think
to me the complementary piece should be something you can
rusher.
Get somehow else.
Yep.
No, I'm saying that DN spot, get a guy. And whether that means moving Wilfork or maybe it's get a guy at nose and Wilfork becomes more of a full-time end. I don't know. But you've decided those two are the guys you're building around on the line, and Seymour wasn't worth keeping. So now we're going to use a first-round pick, trade up to get a guy that replaces Seymour. Then you should have kept Seymour.
All right, John, thanks for the call. We'll get back to
a lot of good draft stuff.
A lot of good draft stuff. And we got a little bit more here in the inbox. We got Alex from Georgia taking a very mean-spirited attack against Paul here. Hey,
that's okay.
Hey, guys, and Paul, a.k.a. Fat Bastard, if, and it's a huge if.
I always like this, just the simple, traditional shots. Fat Bastard is just funny.
I think it's uncalled for, Paul,
honestly.
Okay,
you don't like when they say guys and Eric. I find that very funny. Keep it simple, stupid.
All right.
I found that funny.
Alex continues. Let's say if Sergio Kindle, Ricky Sapp, Brandon Graham, and Jared Odrick are available at 22.
Kindle.
Who would each of you guys and Fat Bastard go with?
Mine would be Kindle and followed by Graham. But
you like the Kindle?
I like
as
the Kindle.
Fred, as the Kirsch would say?
I like the
I'm
Kindle.
Going with Kindle more because he's been a disappointment. He's not as productive as he should be. But Bill has wanted the guy that fits his the role,
the 6'4", 4'6".
He fits that. So, and not only that, he comes from Muschamp. Put that all together, Bill. He should be your guy, so take him. Because if Brandon Graham's your guy, then that guy's been available in previous drafts, and you decided he wasn't the guy.
But if he's the guy that can make the plays, does Bill find the way to get him in?
Lamar Woodley could make the plays.
So why doesn't he try to find those guys and try to get them to fit into this defense?
That's my point. He's passed them over. Now there's a guy that fits his needs, theoretically. Take him.
All right.
I'm going with Bill's theory here. I'm kind of picking a guy based on his theory more than my own.
Mm-hmm. Alex says, I'm really not sold on Kindle personally.
I'm not either.
It would be a toss-up between Graham and Odrick.
I don't like Odrick very much.
You don't?
No.
Really?
Why? I don't know as much about him as you guys do, obviously. I don't love him.
Yeah, I haven't watched his tape yet.
We haven't gotten that far yet in the tape.
I've done a little research, talked to him. He seems like the perfect
fit. He seems like he'd be good.
For that position, for that 5 technique, in the 3-4, a Seymour type.
Mm-hmm.
The player of the year. I believe he beat out Graham for player of the year.
Yeah, he is. He's a 3-4 end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, well, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's. Yeah. I don't want that.
Well, I don't either.
That's why I wouldn't
take him.
But if he slips to the second round, maybe.
He won't slip to the second
round. With the 3 second round picks, this is Alex again from Georgia. I would like to see the Pats take a tight end, wide receiver, and either running back or defensive lineman, depending on the best available at that point.
I agree wholeheartedly with everything that was just written.
I do too, except for the running back part. I don't want to see that.
Oh, I do.
You don't want a running back in the second round?
No.
Mid to late rounds, then?
I don't think it'll be a terrible pick, but
Ryan Matthews.
I think Andy's point about the glaring needs that you have, I don't think running back is one of them. You could definitely improve. They don't have a lead back.
But Sammy Morris wouldn't care if they drafted Ryan Matthews.
No. They don't have a guy that you can feel comfortable with going into any game saying, I'm going to give the ball to him 20 times today. They don't have a guy that I would feel great about that with. So, yes, you can improve. But I liken it to the analogy that Andy made about the defensive linemen with, what'd you say, Ron Brace, Mike Wright, and, you know, Myron Pryor, those guys. I think Lawrence Maroney and Fred Taylor and Sammy Morris, You should be able to be okay. You should be able to be good enough that that's not the reason why you're losing games. If you don't get another wide receiver or two, you don't find a tight end, your offense may have a hard time being productive. Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to need the running back.
Then you're going to need C.J. Spiller. But Ryan Matthews, by
if
all accounts,
were available
is a terrific
at
guy.
40, yeah. What is it, 44?
Yeah, I'm not going to be stubborn about it. If the value is just knocking you in the face, you got to take it.
But I would even, I'm with the emailer, with one of those three picks, if another guy I thought, you know, I'm rolling the dice with, if I got the tight end and receiver, maybe, and this is my third one, and I go, you know what, this guy may, I'm not saying a Matthews type, I'm saying James Starks or some guy that they've picked as a next-tier prospect that they think could be one of those guys that surprises people, comes in, contributes immediately. I wouldn't be opposed to that.
I wouldn't either.
Well, what if you did? Either. I mean, what are you getting in the first round?
Pass rusher.
Pass rusher.
Hopefully.
So now you're getting your wide receiver and tight end.
In the second round.
And you're saying, okay, if I get those three things, I would rather get another pass rusher. Like a second-tier pass rusher than a running back. Or even a corner. Or something along those lines.
Sure.
Then the running back.
I think we all agree if they get a pass rusher, a wide receiver, and a tight end, they can start
Looking
around and saying what's best now.
But I would rather get multiples of some of those positions than get a running back.
Especially
unless, like I said, the value is just overwhelming. Like I had a guy that, listen, I had my draft board. I had this guy as a first rounder, and here I am at the end of the second round. He's still out there. I can't pass that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know what their draft evaluations are. We don't. So that's a pretty easy pick for them.
Joey Feep. Haven't heard from him in a while.
Joey Feep.
Yeah, his subject line, Tebow is the Antichrist. I think it's a little extreme, but fellas have been out of the loop for a while now. I assume you're still begging for free lunches like street urchins.
Yeah, what have you been up to?
Something's never changed,
he
says.
Might want to work your way back in by buying lunch.
I like the Crumpler signing. Algie Crumpler, tight end, veteran, last week. Hey, Kraft, he says, sign Logan Mankins and reward this stud for being everything you can ask from an NFL lineman. Sheesh.
I agree.
Here's a thought.
I agree.
Except
with
for the hey, Kraft part.
I agree with that.
I say, excuse me, Robert, if you can find the
I agree with it,
resources.
For me, it would be, excuse me, Mr. Kraft, but that's okay. I do agree with the Mankins.
May I have another?
if not Mankins, man, I'll tell you, I mean, this is a guy, he hasn't even missed a practice. You see some of the stuff that is
talking about practice.
His agent was talking about? I don't know.
Is that Ben Dogra?
No,
it's Frank Bauer.
You kind of scared me. You made me a scared, though, with that whole maybe they're trying to run Mankins out of
ben
town thing.
Ben Dotha? I think it's plausible. If they take a guy in the first round.
I'm
scared because
they're doing that as the replacement for Steve Neal eventually.
I'm not big on drafting replacements right now. I'm big on drafting guys that are going to win.
I agree, but I'm saying if that's what the pick is, I think
you worry too much about the future, you're going to be living in it. And the future doesn't include Tom Brady at some point. The present includes him, at least for a year.
And
of course, maybe they're running him out of town, just blowing it up.
Joey Feep ends with, here's the thought, trade a second-round pick for Greg Olsen. Glad you are still there and well.
The Bears, I don't know if it's PR spin to increase his value, but Lovie Smith's
talking him up.
He's
going to
be a big part of the offense. He did one of those. He will be a big player in this offense.
Yeah. Or in any offense, I think is what he said.
He's good. He's a good player.
He is very productive.
He's never had a quarterback. You give him Tom Brady, and I think he'd be very good.
That's my caveat. I have never been in love with him. I didn't even really
Ben
love
Watson
him.
Caught 50 balls when he was the only receiver and played with Tom Brady. He plays with Jim Jag and Stink in Chicago and catches 60 balls.
Jim Jag and Stink. I like it. That's my one caveat, though, is that he's never really played. I didn't love him even coming out of Miami.
I didn't really like him as much then, but he's been
but he
what
been
he was at Miami
I have
in
to
the
give
NFL.
Him that. I mean, he caught, 60 passes?
60-ish.
In eight touchdowns with Jay Cutler playing as erratically as a quarterback could play. That's a pretty good season, and I have no doubt that he'd be able to do that if the Patriots allowed it to happen in their offense with Tom Brady.
And is Watson like in that he's a theoretical mismatch? He's not a crumpler. He's not
That'll
an old school tight end.
Another PFW in progress. We'll be back.
Okay, I guess we'll be
wrapping the show this
up.
Wrong button.
I guess we're going 50.
Okay, now that you've brought yourself into the show with your own idiocy,
I
have a question for you.
And he's got to put him on the spot now.
What do you have planned with these new rules allowing more incitement of the crowd on the big board in stadium?
Actually, I had a conversation with Jonathan about that yesterday.
And?
Fine.
Naked ladies? How does it work? What are the rules?
in the past, or for the past 21 years, you have not been allowed to put anything on the
video
board.
The NFL's changed a lot in the last 100 years or
yeah,
so.
Right. Anything on the video board, noise meters, let's make noise, we need noise, 12th man, anything to get the crowd to cheer or be loud.
And as such, Foxborough been quiet.
Okay. And in 31 other cities, that hasn't been a problem. In this one, they don't know what they're supposed to do.
But now we can. So we'll see some noise meters, a lot more player interaction going into defensive series, and the players actually on the screen trying to incite the crowd themselves.
You know who you should get? You'll have a camera on a guy.
A mascot on a scooter.
Free advice here. No, that's other advice that you've chosen to ignore and put together the worst game day entertainment in the National Football League. Pepper Johnson is the guy you want. Get him to do some video shoots to get the crowd going. He is a natural. Thank you. Let's move on.
And I'm also, just for you, Andy, trying to get a couple T-shirt guns approved.
All right.
You should also get James Sanders on the big board more.
Oh, my God. I tell you, really out of
practice. Ball, you're going to make it. Thought it was your Achilles.
Oh,
why?
I'm sick.
Hacking up a lung.
Breaking news from Strippers.
VIPStrippers.com. You owe us a lunch, Strippers. I've said that an awful lot lately.
Dez Bryant slow, question mark? Initial reports on Dez Bryant's 40-yard dash are not encouraging. One scout in attendance texted that Bryant clocked an unconfirmed 4.57.
I'm on Dez Bryant.
I've been on him since the combine.
Next member of Bustville.
That's not a terrible. I mean, that's not fast, but that's not terrible.
Not Randy
that's not
Moss-like.
Terrible fast, but it's just it adds to the
might
whole.
Be Randy Moss like now.
It, it adds to the down arrow that he's been getting since the combine from us.
What's the president say? He's a jackass. Yeah, keep that ready. I might need that on draft weekend a number of times.
For different picks that are made by other teams?
Yeah. Or you guys.
unless Pittsburgh picks, because then, Kevin Colbert can do no wrong.
Pittsburgh needs to take Ayupati. Big fan.
Oh, yeah.
Put him in front of my guy.
Have you seen that O-line tape yet?
Mendenhall will go up.
I might be trying to extend my streak of never watching the offensive line tape.
Wait a minute. You've never watched offensive line tape?
I won't say
ironic.
I won't
the fattest guy in the room doesn't
I won't
watch
say,
the offensive
I won't
line?
Say never, but it's been a couple of years at least.
No, that's too low.
Okay, yeah, that's a little somewhere in between, Doc.
Shut up, all of you.
Let's test it out. Let's get him to get the levels correct on this.
The thing you didn't want on the show was really loud. That's going to do it for another PFT. It was very loud.
Yeah. Yes.
Perfect. There you go. Well done.
You've got it.
There you go.
It only took us half hour of telling you how to do your job.
Ah, well.
But seriously, Pepper Johnson should be on the big board.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He does it for the scout team, does it for the team. He would be very good if he's allowed to
for
the crowd. I know you agree because I gave you a good idea. You don't have any of your own.
We were talking about the Greg Olsen.
Thanks, Adam.
Potential trade with Chicago
go
earlier.
Yourself.
Zach in Syracuse has another Bears trade that he wants to proffer. Hey guys, sorry I couldn't email this live. I have class during the show this semester. My question is,
you have no class.
About
where does he go to school?
Syracuse. Well, it says in Syracuse, so
who
I'm assuming
goes to school
he goes
at Syracuse.
To...
How do you spell Syracuse? S-Y-C?
Oh, actually, no. According to his email, it's not Syracuse. That's where he's from, but he doesn't go to Syracuse.
Where does he go?
Brockport?
SUNY Brockport?
I guess that's what that is, yeah.
Why don't you call me sometime when you have
no
class?
So he says, my question about possibly acquiring Bears defensive end, Alex Brown. Bears are looking to trade him or possibly cut him after getting Peppers. There's a hole that has been left by losing Seymour and Green, and I'm not sure if Myron Pryor or Mike Wright, certainly not Ron Brace, should start. He also brings much-needed veteran leadership. I believe he was a team captain on the Bears. Are you interested? And what do you think he's worth in a trade or if he's cut in free agency?
People really hate Ron Brace, huh?
Well, he was very underwhelming for the pick that they selected
him. He barely played, and he got pushed around a little, I'll admit that.
For a second-round pick, though, compared to a sixth-round pick in Myron Pryor, who was very productive.
If he had just not gotten a chance to play, I don't think there would be as much negativity surrounding him. But he did get a chance. He was pressed into service because they had some injury problems,
I know.
And he didn't play well. And I think the biggest thing, Andy, to be honest, more so than getting pushed around in the two games, was the fact that the sixth-round pick clearly was ahead of him.
Right.
But it happens. I'm just saying. He has been, branded a bust almost as quick as anybody I can remember.
Yeah, I think
I don't really know why.
It's way too early for that.
Fred Kirsch led the charge, and his email brethren have fallen in line.
Okay. I'm just trying to offer up some reasons why I think that happened.
I see the reasons, but, we've had plenty of guys that were given far more time who sucked far more.
And I also think that, and I am definitely guilty of this, but you fall into the sixth rounder and the second rounder. Well, they're both rookies, you know, and they were both really good players in college. And I understand that the draft status means a lot, but once you get out there, that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, I wonder, you know? I wonder if the negativity would be as bad if there wasn't the comparison.
If they didn't have a sixth-round draft pick that played ahead of him, mm-hmm. I don't think it would be as bad.
No, all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
I think Pryor's more athletic. I think he has a little more versatility. He clearly learns faster, picked up that need for versatility inside now faster.
I would agree with that.
I'm just not ready to cut ties with Brace. Like, seems like
I don't like to cut ties with any rookie after 1 year, much like... In fairness to me, I don't like to go overboard the other way. When a guy comes in and has a little bit of a flash, mm-hmm. I don't think that automatically means he's destined for a Hall of Fame career. Mm-hmm. I
don't put him in Canton yet, as Parcells used to say.
Yeah, I think it's a process.
Nano Steele wants to talk about Ron Brace a little bit more. I've read recently that the Pats are going to have both North Carolina defensive tackle Cam Thomas and Tennessee defensive tackle Dan Williams come to Gillette for visits prior to the draft. Could this mean that we're done with Ron Brace already? I hope Brace can turn it around this year, but if you judge only on the basis of their rookie year, you could make a case that Brace might end up being the worst of all our second-round busts over the BB years. Terrence Wheatley, Chad Jackson, Marquise Hill, Bethel Johnson, Adrian Clem, he lists. Every time Brace was on the field, he was totally and completely dominated. On almost every play, the O-line would push him back 5 yards. As bad as all the other second-round busts were, at least after 1 year, they seemed to have some potential. Wheatley showed some flashes in Indy year one before breaking his wrist. Chad Jackson was an athlete who did make some catches.
He's an athlete.
And Bethel Johnson was able to return kicks and also made catches. And
that was his best year.
Hill and Clem at least weren't abused on every play the way Ron Brace was.
See, I would say, I mean, no disrespect to the dead, but Marquise Hill never did one thing as a Patriot.
Well, that's true. The only time he ever flashed was in a JV game, and I've never seen Ron Brace play a JV game, so I don't know how that would play out.
But is there any chance Vince Wilfork of the email is definitely there.
He's going to play end? Not all the time, but...
More so than usual?
30% of the time or
something? Yeah, I think so.
Do you think there's a chance that if they try to expand his role on the field? We've talked a lot about Vince. We've talked a lot about off the field. They're maybe trying to force something that's not there in terms of leadership. Do you think if there's a chance that they try to do something like that with him and he's more of an every down player that you get diminishing returns?
Certainly.
I do too.
We've seen him get worn down in the past and have to jog off and take a breather. I mean, he's portly.
That's being polite.
I was trying to be. He's a nice man.
I mean, I love him.
No need to call a nice man fat.
I love the guy.
You do that to Paul all the time.
I said nice man.
Oh, see?
Vince Wilfork works hard.
Oh. Wow. Paul's going to have to write a little handwritten Domi job sign and put it on his door like Vince
Domi?
Had. Yeah. Remember? He had the Domi job sign?
It did say Domi job.
Ty?
There was no space in between the O and the M.
It was do my, but it was Domi.
Yeah.
It's very close.
Not Ty Domi. Like you said.
You know, that Greg Olson thing that we talked about a little bit earlier, I have to think that Mike Martz, you know, everybody just says Mike Martz doesn't use the tight end. Right? When has he ever had a guy that could do these things?
Right.
You know, he's had...
Well, he had Vernon Davis, who did these things after he left.
He did, and clearly there was some interest in using him.
He had Marcus Pollard in Detroit.
But they couldn't get through to him. Marcus Pollard was 110 years old when he had him.
Just throwing names out there.
Marcus Pollard wasn't bad for a while.
I mean, let's face it. When we're talking about Mike Martz, I'm talking about his heyday with the Rams. And if I had Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt and Oz Akeem and Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk, I'm not throwing the ball to Brandon Malauna, whatever his name is, either.
Is he who was there?
I think so.
Yeah.
He signed him to go to Chicago.
That's right. He was with San Diego.
I didn't throw
to
you in St. Louis, but I'll throw
you
here.
I ain't going to throw you here either.
Webradio@patriots.com is our email address, 508-543-7482. The phone number. We'll get back to a lot of emails in just a minute.
BFW in progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A., Bank of America N.A., member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Patriots, PFW in progress!
No Fred Kirsch on the show today, it's just Eric, Paul, Andy, Doc behind the glass.
Doc's providing the stupidity.
I think Fred's not here today because he was so overwhelmed by having to do that solo show last week. Where he wasn't really solo.
A solo show with three other people.
With three other people on board.
Which, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, Eric.
Okay. Well, Fred is the guy who said, when you go to the beach alone, bring a friend. So
yeah,
when he
true.
Does a solo show alone, he brings friends.
He brings friends.
I didn't get a chance to listen to the show or anything, mm-hmm. but I got inundated with emails.
About?
Now, I'll admit, because it's in the interest of fairness, some of them were saying, they were making fun of Andy and I, saying mm-hmm. that, geez, it was nice to get the negative twins off the show. And then all of a sudden, I got a steady stream of, what on earth has happened to that Homer Fest, mm-hmm. that's Homer
yes.
Fest, that went on PFW in Progress on Tuesday?
Not
and evidently,
Martin.
I found out it was Brian Lowe, our own B-Low, and Fred Kirsch, with a guest spot by Mike Reese. I must have gotten 10 emails like, don't ever let that Homer Fest happen again. I don't know what the heck went on in here.
Yep. Was Mike Reese included in that?
No, just that no specific people were ripped.
Oh.
It was just the fact that evidently it was, you know, it doesn't matter that Tom Brady's not here.
We do. We did get a lot of response from that show, though, from listeners. And a little leftover one here from Cedric in Chicago. Hey, what's up, guys? I watched Sam Bradford's pro day, and he looked great. Unfortunately, I don't put too much emphasis on those pro days. Hey, I want you to tell me what you think of Jerry Hughes from TCU. Saw tapes of him, and he is good. I don't think we've gotten to.
I am watching that right now.
How are you?
Very productive. I actually haven't watched him yet, but I'm watching linebackers today.
I like him a lot.
I like him. I think he would be really good as the second guy, Paul, if you wanted to do your little double
yes.
dip thing.
Yes.
Take Kindle and him or
yep.
Graham and him. I'm not sure I would be comfortable taking him and saying he's the answer.
Too much unknown.
Right.
What about
the edge rusher?
Our guy, George Selvey.
I'm intrigued
Florida.
By him as a developmental guy because I think he's gotten railroaded and overlooked. I mean, he was the centerpiece of that defense, flashed as a sophomore. Then everybody started double-teaming them, and this Juan Pierre-Paul comes in for 1 year of success.
He calls him
he's
that.
A physical freak, and now he's the top first-round pick, and Selvey's forgotten.
Yeah.
I'd like to give him a chance
that
to play
so much,
for me.
I don't even remember what his real first name is.
Jason.
Jason.
Cedric continues, how's your Achilles doing, Paul?
It's a killing him.
It's not torn anymore.
Did you go to Morris Doctor?
That's true.
And he ends with, keep up the good work, Pushy Fred. That's Pushy Fred. Eric and Andy are not negative. Come on, Fred. They're just objective, and that's what I want as a fan. Objective people, not emotion-driven people.
Well, I'm emotion-driven, but I'm also objectively emotion-driven.
And Cedric's last question
is... I can't make that same statement. I'm emotion-driven, and sometimes it's not all that objective.
That's true.
I get a little wild sometimes.
My last question is, what's with the hatred of B-Lo? Come on. Take care, guys. That's Cedric in Chicago.
B-Lo's a good dude. What it is.
He is.
He makes me appear quiet, however.
You talk about Vince Wilfork diminishing returns. Spend too much time with B-Lo, you start to get a little annoyed.
And if you didn't get enough B-Lo in the solo show that Fred did last week, tune in tomorrow at noon for the first edition of The Draft Room with Brian Lowe. That's right. He's going to have his own little pre-draft radio show
Emphasis
in the next few
little.
Weeks. Tony Pauline for DraftInsider.net and a contributor to SI.com will join B-Lo at 12:15. All of your
Am
overall...
I a contributor to BBC? Like, can I say Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly and a contributor to the BBC?
Yeah, he just...
I don't see
he
why
Yes,
not.
You can.
He just
Thank you.
Refuses to let
I'm,
go.
You know what? Andy
and NFL
I,
Network.
I was just going to say that.
You and ESPN.
You and I should just start considering ourselves...
But BBC
you know,
is...
NFL Network analyst.
I mean, BBC is
Did
where
Did they
exactly
give you a green room?
I'm going to put that on my resume.
No, but the blonde
NFL
was
Network
very kind
analyst.
You should. Contributing analyst.
Contributing analyst.
No.
Like you're a contributing writer
analyst.
To the paper
that,
the last few issues.
Pay you.
I didn't say regular.
I think you kind of let that one go.
Analyst, didn't Would you say paper champion?
What's that now? What?
Would you say paper champion?
I think you should put PFW contributing analyst. I'm not that's sure you work
that's
here
what,
anymore.
That's what I said.
Oh, I don't listen to you.
Oh, Christ.
You're rarely informative or funny, so it's just easier to ignore.
I have to finish this reader that Doc gave me. All of your overall NFL draft questions can be answered on the draft room, so email webradio@patriots.com, 508-503-7482. B-Lo,
hopefully
tomorrow.
Paulini's going to answer them because B-Lo's got nothing. Why the hate for people?
Yeah, I don't
get it.
Strippers again with a little bit of breaking news. Or
strip us.
Some interesting news, he says. Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio
Belichick.
Dined with Tim Tebow in the North End last night, the Herald is reporting. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's funny that everybody is working out Tim Tebow or doing whatever they're doing on their hosts. And they're taking, like, Jim Kelly just took him to dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, he was part of a group that.
And his wife tweeted it.
Yeah, right. What's his wife doing tweeting what her husband's doing?
But I mean, just think it's odd that everybody is finding out that Tim Tebow was going to dinner with the NFL. I mean, I don't know. I just find it funny. I don't
the
remember.
Tim Tebow tour.
I don't remember hearing about the fact that so-and-so was out to dinner with the Patriots brass.
Well, I think.
Well, yeah.
In the past.
You
the
hear
past,
about
you
this
have.
With quarterbacks.
Right.
But.
Tebow Matt is Ryan
just,
did it
he
when
is
he was
like,
with, you know,
the story
the
of the draft.
Falcons reporting him, that kind of thing.
But
I don't think people cared
I think
as much.
That's
He's
a little
the
different.
Guy of the
I mean,
draft.
That's a guy that's going to get taken in one of the first two or three picks.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get him, so you can do that.
The thing that I think is interesting about Tebow is, like you said, people have all different opinions. That, you know, it runs the gamut what people think about this guy. He could either be a first-round pick, according to some. He could be a seventh-round you know, late round pick.
Oh, that would be phenomenal.
But most people seem to be in agreement that he's sort of an integral part of how this draft is going to unfold. Because if for some reason a team does take him in the first round, that sort of affects a lot of other slots. Guys suddenly drop a little bit, become available that you didn't expect. And then if he doesn't, if he's a mid to late round guy, then that changes things in the other way.
I will say he's the most polarizing figure to hit the draft maybe ever.
Mm-hmm. But what if he were a Patriot? What would you think of that? If the Patriots drafted him?
You know,
what do you call it? Like star envy?
Yeah, and we talked about it in the break a little bit. I think he'd be the most
starstruck?
Famous.
Yeah, Paul would be starstruck.
I don't.
He would rub his leg.
Put me in the camp that I absolutely flat out do not think he can play quarterback at the NFL level. I don't. You know, that's my opinion. We'll see if I'm right.
You're not.
However, I am intrigued if the Patriots were to draft him. Just because of the overwhelming aura around this guy, I think he'd be the most famous draft pick that we've ever had.
Okay.
I mean,
give you a question.
At the time he gets drafted, I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady fame.
If he gets drafted by the New England Patriots with the 47th pick in the draft,
yeah.
What's the cover of PFW after the draft?
Ooh.
I mean, I think you got to go with the first round pick.
What if the first round pick
isn't one?
Is
what if
his
there isn't one?
Center from Florida, Pouncey? You still just ignore the fact that you put – because to me,
the only
if
way
you're trying to sell papers on the newsstand, Tim Tebow goes on your cover and it says, Pouncey taken number one below it. You know, it's the subhead.
Or a smaller picture.
Or Tebow has to be your
best,
cover shot.
Best one, you get a shot, like an AP shot, of them together.
That was a bad example. Sorry, that's stupid because I don't want that. That gave you an out. I don't want the out. Say they draft some other center. He's right. You could take an action shot from Florida with Pouncey
Tebow
and Tebow taking. Although he wasn't under center much. So
no, but you have to get like a shotgun.
Your theory is.
I mean, if you're selling papers, you put Tebow on the cover.
You know what? You're probably right. You're probably right. I don't think it'll go over well with the powers that be.
Well, you shouldn't draft it then. If you don't want the circus that comes with Tim Tebow, don't take him because it's part of it. You have to acknowledge that it's part of it. There will be a circus. There will be national reporters at mini camps and training camps watching him throw. Is he taking snaps with Brady? Is he taking snaps at tight end? Yep. Is he taking snaps here? What did he do? He will be the story of the offseason.
Can you imagine them
from draft day on?
Trying to keep us from actually saying what he's doing?
What do you mean by us?
Reporters.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant us.
You meant PFW?
Yeah, I can imagine them doing whatever they want with us.
No, like, you know, I mean, no, but our listeners
because us, we work for Kraft Tea.
No. I'm talking about the rules that all the reporters have in terms of what they can and
They'll
can
break
report.
The rules.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you'll have national people breaking the rules. You'll have Jason Cole swooping in to break the rules. I'll be back in 2 months or 2 years. I don't need to follow your stupid little rules.
I mean, that's how I would feel if I were the Globe or the Herald, to be honest with you. I don't care about the rules.
They don't seem to feel that way.
No, because they're all... Well, never mind.
What?
Nothing.
Is that now?
What?
Are you going to go in the pocket or up the butt?
Andy, you were talking about your interest in Brandon Spikes
Love
earlier.
Him.
Another
Love
Florida
him.
Guy. Brett in Orlando seems to be familiar with the Florida teams.
Brandon James, him too as a late-round pick. Is he on there?
Well, let me get to that. I agree with you guys on Brandon Spikes. I love that he ran a slow 40 because it makes him drop, and at his position... That's about as important as a quarterback having massive biceps. If they
like
don't
Brady Quinn?
Yeah. If they don't end up with him, I will absolutely vomit.
Me too.
I also like Golden Tate, who has good hands, which is hard to teach, and is good at getting away from coverage. So
that was well written.
Thank you. So you didn't write it.
I'm saying
thank you on behalf of Brett. And
he's so pompous, he's now taking credit for other people's.
Well, he's not here to say thank you.
My God.
Golden Tate has good hands, which is hard to teach, and is good at getting away from coverage. So where do you guys think he'll end up? I also agree with winning now. We have a player, the most important position in sports, that comes along every 5 years or so. Whether it's free agency or the draft, this team needs to win now. All I ask is that they not draft a running back, please. Well, what if that running back is C.J. Spiller? I throw that out there at you.
I still would rather have a pass rusher.
Well, I would too, but...
Well, you threw it
but
out there.
But I asked
there
the question anyway.
I asked the question because what if C.J. Spiller and the pass rusher are available?
You threw a question out there and I answered it.
Golden Tate.
Do it again. I'm going back to my base.
I think Golden Tate will be picked in the 20s.
I like Golden Tate.
I do too.
Don't love him, but I like him.
Maybe in the high, the low teens.
Why don't you love him, Paul?
Depending which
one. Not sure he's big enough.
He's no smaller than Deion Branch. He's actually bigger, I think.
Oh, he's bigger.
Yeah, I'm not sure Deion Branch was big enough.
I think Golden Tate's 5'11". I think Deion Branch was like
5'9".
Maybe.
Yeah, he was
maybe
small.
An NFL 5'9".
Branch was small and he was never
kinda
healthy.
Like I'm 5'9".
He is never healthy.
Round up and it's 5'9".
But I like Golden Tate. I think he's a good player. I do. I like him a lot. I like the other kid from Notre Dame too, Michael Floyd, the other receiver. Which is why I'm a little bit hesitant on Jimmy Clausen. I haven't really decided, you know, if I think... I think that he benefited from two very, very good receivers.
Speaking of Mick Shea, which we spoke about earlier, so we had actually spoken of him, so it's appropriate. There are reports from Vinny Serrato had made comments that he doesn't get all the negative kind of vibe that people talk about with Clausen not being a leader and the ego and everything. He says, and he worked at Notre Dame, that he's talked to everybody there, and he hasn't heard complaints about that, and he actually thinks Mick Shea started that kind of reports, trends, and doesn't really know where he got it from. Wants to know where the source is on that because as a notable draft
That's
expert that he's promoting that. Now, Vinny Serrato's also friends with Clausen's agent, so there's, as always, there are cross-pollinated relationships in here which muddy the water greatly, but because that seems to be one of the biggest things about Clausen is not so much the throws or the any of it's is he a good guy, is he a leader, is he going to be the good you know, spokesman
yep.
for your team,
yeah.
locker room guy, blah, blah, blah.
And he addressed that at the combine,
right.
like, right off the bat.
It's hard to address that. You know, you can talk all you want. The proof is in the pudding.
Right.
Need the info.
I think that all gets back to that whole limo thing.
Oh, me too.
When he showed up,
which is why I think it's true. I think
he showed up when he showed up in the limo. I think that's people have made the decision about him.
Right,
his determination right there. That's what it was.
That really, that connotation
that really,
of that has changed in like the last 6 months.
Yeah. So you can't use that anymore in that way.
Wow,
he was banging cocktail waitresses.
Couple of follow ups here.
Players couldn't get drinks
from strippers. Pro Football Talk reporting this: we don't think the Patriots' interest is a smokescreen. That interest in Tebow.
I don't either.
Is a smokescreen or a favorite to Belichick's buddy Urban Meyer. New England has 3 second-round picks, and it wouldn't shock us, this is Pro Football Talk, if the Patriots considered Tebow at number 22 overall.
It would shock
that
me.
That would shock me if they did it for 22.
But I don't think it's a second-round pick. I think Bill likes Tebow.
That's a possibility.
I don't know where he values him, first, second, third, fourth round. I think he likes him. I think he would take him on his team in a heartbeat at the right value.
Mm-hmm.
If he thinks 22 is the right value, then... the ship is sinking.
See, but here's the other thing about that whole value thing. Bill also doesn't care where he thinks he can get a guy. He's gonna rank the board. If he thinks he's that good, like he ranks every prospect.
No, I know.
And he has Tim Tebow at 17.
Then, as I just said, the ship is sinking. If Bill thinks Tim Tebow is the 17th best player in the draft and is that important to this team, the ship is sinking.
And his other follow-up.
I just don't understand where you use this guy. I don't understand what you do with him.
He's a leader.
That's what
Paul.
talent evaluates.
Like becomes love. Love becomes championship. Jimmy Sanders proved that.
Love
last
becomes
year.
Team. Team becomes Whatever. Championship.
You win championship. He also overlooked aspect of that was I'm just looking for a team to invest in me and give me the time and resources, whatever. If you're a first round pick, okay, you may get that. Otherwise, you're not getting that. You don't get invested in as a third round developmental jag.
That's what I used to. You know, one of my least favorite players, as you know, Doug Flutie. And that talk used to be all the time. They just need to build an offense around him. They, you know, they've never given him a chance. Well, what has he done to warrant that?
Right.
I mean, he was a 10th-round pick. You don't get offenses built around 5'7 quarterbacks. I know he was 5'9". I'm just exaggerating to make my point.
No, he wasn't. I'm 5'9". He was shorter than me.
And we were talking about the consensus that Sam Bradford's pro day was among the best that people have ever seen.
The rest of the world is catching up to Andy.
Strippers wanted to point out Mike Mayock is a fraud is his subject line.
I agree.
Mayock today, I guess, said, the best pro day I ever saw as a quarterback was Jamarcus Russell. I've never seen a quarterback throw the football like that in my life, but I still couldn't take him in the first round. The guy doesn't care about football. Doesn't have the passion for the game, doesn't have the work ethic. I don't want him, but by the way, it was a pretty impressive pro day. Here's what Mayock had to say before Russell's draft.
Oh, I love it when strippers does this.
Jamarcus Russell's ceiling is as high as any quarterback I have seen coming out of college since John Elway.
He's a jackass.
And Mayock's top five that year were Calvin Johnson, Russell, Adrian Peterson, Joe Thomas, LaRon Landry.
He had Russell as the second best prospect?
Yes.
People really
were just snowballed by him. Huh?
See, now, the rankings are different to me. What he just said, I agree with his description that his ceiling is as high. I think from a physical standpoint, he has a lot of things that a lot of guys don't have. But everybody, and I mean everybody, said the other part. Football's not important to him. He doesn't care about it. He's not going to study. He's not going to work to improve. He's got weight issues. He's got conditioning problems. He doesn't like playing that much.
But
and I don't see how
that,
you could possibly put a guy like that in your top five.
I'd like to see video of his pro day because I see a guy who can't throw the football anywhere near as accurately as Sam Bradford. So no. I find it hard to believe him against air was perfect.
Andy, everybody was fell in love with him when he got down on one knee and threw
the
ball 65
yards. That's fine. I'm talking about if he threw 63 passes, I'm saying not all 63 were where they were supposed to be.
Sam Bradford,
with you.
I'll put my money that all 60 of 63 would be
just,
dead on.
I'm just
and
trying
if they
to
hit
say,
the ground, it's because the receiver didn't
right.
hold on to it.
I don't,
Jamarcus Russell, if they hit the ground, I say it's 50-50.
Hey, I'm no big fan of Mayock. You guys know that. But I don't think that the comment about Elway was as laughable as as everything else that he said.
I wish it were a little more glaring. The comparison. I wish it was a little more glaring. I wish he had said, just got back from Russell's pro day. He sucked, and now he's saying it was the most. I wish it was like a direct
a
contrast.
More, yeah, like there was a more glaring.
He's saying he had a lot
contrast.
Of upside. A lot of guys have a lot of upside. They never get it. Michael Olowokandi. I don't know. I'm just throwing guys out there.
Basketball?
Yeah.
The Candy Man.
Eat great ball.
I kept that cough in.
Oh, God. All right. Bill, in Belfast, Maine, I want to throw you for a loop there, Andy. You know you wanted to say Northern Ireland. Hi, guys. Drunk. Great listening to you. I haven't heard any discussion.
No, those Northern Irish guys, those are the nuts ones, right?
You don't want to say
that is true.
Ixnay on the runk day.
Haven't heard any discussion of what the Patriots will do about the third and fifth round picks. Well, they don't have a third, so there's not anything they can really do about that. Except
for fifth either.
Surely they'll have to trade something down at some point or package lower picks to get a pick in these rounds.
Well,
can you give any insight?
Do I think they probably will?
Yeah. I don't know exactly what they will do, but I'm pretty confident that they'll address that and get into those rounds. I think they'll definitely have picks in every round,
you think?
Yeah. Well, particularly the third, because Bill likes the third round.
But does he like the third round now?
I don't know. When was the last time I talked to him?
I don't know. Is the third round what it was before it was a three-day draft? Now the third round ends day two instead of starting day three.
Right? So what's the difference?
The whole reset the board, value, guys
that was
slip.
Only for a couple of years anyway. It used to be the first three rounds on day one.
No, I know, but...
He likes the third round because he thinks those are talented players.
But I think it's going to change with the whole days thing and what people risk for and trade up for and that
I think his theory in the third round, and I don't know, listen, I don't know talent enough to...
I agree.
To debate him on this, but he used to say that... Third round, there are a lot of players picked in the third round have first round talent.
PK Sam?
No, he's a boy.
And they're, for a reason, there's, you know, for various reasons they end up in the third round, whether it be discipline, injury, what have you.
The third round was a
round to take chances in because there are a lot of talented players who fall. And that's why I think I would be shocked to see him not figure out a way to get into that round.
People not happy, though, about the whole idea of trading down. One of our readers before said he was going to vomit if something happened. Now, this one, Preston, a little drastic measures here. Yes.
Not his real name.
I would much rather address pass rush, wide receiver, and tight end before we start drafting for value. I think these are our major needs this year. And if we drop down this year, I will jump off the Tobin. Thanks.
Good.
Have a nice day.
Might fall down when you try to get out there anyway. I hate that bridge.
Why?
It's scary. I feel like it could just go down at any point.
What's scary?
I feel like eventually I am going to read about that collapsing.
Okay.
They're always like repairing it, like using duct tape to hold it together, it feels like. And it's very high and skinny. Feels like a good breeze could take it down. Never been a big fan.
The road itself is always being repaired.
Yeah, the whole
thing.
Not
the bridge.
It's like they're putting gum down. I'm telling you, that thing, death trap. Mark my words.
It's not the greatest.
20 years from now, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, you'll be saying, Handy, son of a bitch.
Going to be like that thing in Minnesota a couple years ago?
I'm telling you.
What was that?
It was the bridge that just collapsed.
That was a much newer bridge, I think, wasn't it?
I think
so. Did it look bigger and newer?
I actually have much more concerns about new construction than I do old.
Really? Awesome, you should, based on the backroom dealings that got it done.
I'm kind of with Andy on this because, I don't know if you've ever been down to Rhode Island with the Mount Hope Bridge. It's like a tiny little one lane on each side, and there's like no breakdown lane. It's like one lane here, one lane this direction, and then just the sides of the bridge.
Right.
And it looks like the ricketiest thing. Now, every time I cross it, I feel like it's going to teeter.
Well, but that's like a quarter of the size of the Tobin Bridge.
Still.
The Tobin Bridge is three lanes wide and has breakdown lanes.
I'm telling you.
I still would feel safer.
You'll remember this conversation. Just hope you're not on it that day, Paul.
In 100 years, when it collapses, you'll be able to say, yeah, you were right.
No way it makes it 100 years. We'll make it 10. Under 10.
Oh, yeah. All right. Just
things
that I'd never thought
we'd be talking about. The stability of the Tobin Bridge.
Thanks to Preston.
Well, Preston says he was going to jump off it. I mean, come on, Preston. I don't want them to trade down either, but you have to kill yourself over it. The ship might be sinking, like Andy says, but... Grab a life raft.
He dressed Tebow at 22. May have bottomed out.
Wow. All right. We do have an email now from Belfast, Northern Ireland, from Owen.
How you doing?
Nice to meet you.
Yes. Hey, guys.
Damn guys to your south.
just wondering, what do you guys think the odds of the Patriots trading their own 2011 first-round pick or the one from the Raiders to get another first this year?
I think you'd have to trade more than that.
I think you would, too. Nobody would want just one for one in another year.
No, we already talked about generally the theory is it's a round back.
Right, particularly in a draft that most experts think is very deep.
Yeah. He has some other questions. What do you think of Ricky Sapp, and where is he expected to go?
I will have answers to all that later today. I'm watching that film today.
We're just getting to the outside linebacker.
I don't love him.
Defensive ends.
I don't love him either.
To me, he's even more theoretical than Kindle.
And Kindle?
I don't really care for it. Paul apparently has a fever. He's checking his own forehead.
A little bit.
Finishes
falling
with,
apart. Dead by 40.
I don't know if that's just because my girl Megan Kelly's on the screen, but.
That could be. I thought you had a new one now. You saw there was another one.
Yeah, she's just
a
correspondent, though. She's not a
Not an anchor?
Host.
Oh, okay. Owen finishes up with, thanks, guys.
Owen host on Fox News.
Keep up the great work. P.S. I used to think Andy was a wanker, but he has earned my respect.
He is.
Well, wank you very much.
always go with your first impression, Owen.
What does that mean? Beat off?
You are a wanker.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, yeah, aren't we
it's
all?
Another way of the word that rhymes with brick.
Anyone who says they're not a wanker is lying. There's wankers and guys that lie about wanking.
Yeah, as my, I think it was my sophomore year humanities teacher once said, 90% of the population masturbates. The other 10% lie.
It's true. Wow. No doubt about it.
Hey, Doc, do you have a color? You have a color printer in there? No. Andrew in the Ukraine did some serious research here and put together a spreadsheet for us.
And
but
like
it's all
color-coded.
Yeah. He said, guys, I was a little bored, so I designed a spreadsheet which attempts to evaluate the picks in this draft based on their value to the Patriots specifically. I've attached it for you guys to have a look at or dump in the trash bin as you see fit. It works on three basic principles. One, actually, he starts with 11. The Patriots
doesn't make me feel great about the rest of your work in a spreadsheet if the first one is wrong.
The Patriots' weaknesses at each of the starting offensive and defensive positions. Two, the value of each position in the Patriots scheme. Three, the estimated success of each prospect. The shaded column next to each player is his final score.
Shading?
The white columns are the variables that you change. Shaded columns are formulas, so if you edit those, it won't work. Thought it might be mildly interesting. It's
so
turned out to
be
mildly
like
confusing.
Who the pick is?
Let's see what we got. Let me just
all these numbers come together to tell me that the Patriots
so
will select.
Okay, so he's got. Let's see here. I'm looking at spreadsheet. Oh, there's three. No, there's only one page, but it's pretty long. So the top name on here, it starts with quarterbacks. It goes by position. He's got quarterbacks: Jimmy Clausen.
Whoa, is ahead of Bradford?
POT 95.
I'll be putting this in the garbage.
Sam Bradford 90.
Idiotic.
Wow. Jarrett Brown is the next quarterback, 75.
I like him, actually. I think he is a potential Patriot.
Jevon Snead, Mississippi, 72.
I think he's a potential Patriot.
And who do you think the next quarterback on the list, according to Andrew in the Ukraine?
Probably Tim Tebow, based on your look.
Tim Tebow with a 68.
Just missed.
Just ahead of Tony Pike at 65. Max Hall, 60. Wow.
Let's move on to another position.
And Colt McCoy he has down at 50.
Let's move on to another position.
Okay, what do you want?
Who's this
defensive
guy?
End?
Andrew in the Ukraine.
Ukraine.
No, not defensive end. Give me running back.
I mean, like the outside linebacker, pass rusher spot. Let me see if I can find where that is because this is.
I said running back.
You want running back?
I said
CJ Spiller, 95. Same score as Clausen. Javid Best is the next one at 85.
I'm okay.
Ryan Matthews, 82. Pretty close to Javid Best.
I'm okay
there.
With the bulk of this.
Montario Hardesty, 75.
Dropping quickly now.
LeGarrette Blount, a name that we've tossed around a little bit here. 72.
All right, let's move on. I'm losing interest quickly.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to study this more later off air, but it looks like it has some potential.
Looks like Andrew in the Ukraine got a bit too much time on his hands.
Well, he said that. He started off. He was a little bored.
Oh, but I mean a lot.
So maybe he was doing it at work.
Should take up a hobby.
You know, a lot of people.
I generally assume most people work at work. You know, not Paul, but
not our listeners. We have a lot of listeners who don't work at work.
Are you going to go die in the bathroom?
Where are you going, fella? You all right? You sure?
Poop yourself? Pee all yourself? Right. What do they call that? Continence or something?
Incontinence. Yeah.
Wow. Incompetence.
Oh, strippers. One last thing, Paul. Congratulations to Paul. Howard Stern last week said Megyn Kelly's the hottest, smartest girl in the world.
She is. I've heard her speak. She's intelligent. She can.
She's on right now.
A practicing attorney. She's the real
deal. Well,
they
have two of those. The other blonde on there is a practicing attorney.
Yeah, not as smart. Not nowhere near as smart.
You know what you're talking
about?
So that
would make her near smart if I said not
nowhere
near
smart. The one that was on there a few minutes ago? Shannon Bream?
Yeah.
She was a former.
Megyn Kelly's legit. A mother.
I think they're both legit.
Lawyer. Well-spoken. Intelligent. Legit.
Wonder what her husband is. Well, yeah, it goes without saying, Doc. Okay, let's get some of these emails back up here.
She's a babe.
Sorry.
Strippers, I'm still looking for pictures of Megyn Kelly in revealing situations. I asked you for that months ago.
Oh, you did? Do you ask for that?
You never came through, which tells me they must not exist.
Well, that means she's also pure? Is that what you're saying?
No, she has a kid.
No, pure.
The only person who was pure and had a kid was...
No, no, I don't mean like that. I mean, she's not...
The guy married to the sucker. I mean, the girl married to
oh,
the sucker
geez.
Who bought the All whole right, story.
Stop. It's Holy Week. Don't go trashing Catholicism and Christianity, you heathen.
Heathen.
All right, a few minutes left. Paul's left the building for some reason.
I think he had to wee-wee or woo-woo.
This was a funny email. Hold on. Funny email we got earlier today.
Okay.
Punch it up.
A lot of emails.
No, we do. It was funny because... Where is it? I lost it.
Because
now.
He was fat.
I'm having a Fred Kirsch moment up here because I...
am an idiot.
I hope I didn't delete it. No, here it is. Austin. Doesn't say where he's from.
Austin?
Says, hello, my name is Austin, and I'm a huge fan of the New England Patriots.
Why does he talk funny?
I think he's a young kid. I know you guys get that a lot, but I am one of the biggest. My dream is to play on the Patriots when I get done with college. I am not in college yet, but I will be soon. Please email back. Thanks.
Do you play high school football? I mean, is it even an option for you at this point in life, kid?
I don't know.
Austin.
But he sounds like a young fan. We need to encourage him, don't you think?
Why?
Because he's a young fan.
Reality is life sucks.
Oh, boy.
Just ask Eric.
Well, yeah, now that I'm stuck in the room with you, it's not looking up, that's for sure.
Yeah, because generally you're just rubbing elbows with the who's who.
Oh, man.
A lot of emails.
We do.
I'm trying to Sam in Chicago's.
Yeah, you're a boy. I mean, girl.
Yeah, Sam, stop the charade. There's no way that those pictures of the hot girl that was sent was that can't be. It's not.
I agree. It's not.
It's not.
It's a charade.
So anyway, Sam writes in. Thanks for the show.
A she-rod. Get it?
Yeah.
She-rod.
Yeah.
As in she has a rod.
It's actually amazing how positive everyone is when Fred's not there and when Fred's on his own.
Because
what? Yeah, that's what she wrote. It's actually amazing how positive everyone is when Fred's not there and when Fred's on his own. How positive we are when Fred's on his own?
So it's positive except when Fred is part of the whole mix.
Yeah.
Well, he does have a little bit of that.
Because
he's so ridiculous that he makes us go the other way.
Right.
Blah, 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 it's kind of like when I used to appear with Felger. I'm negative here, but when I go on with Felger,
Mr.
he's
Patriot.
So negative, you got to be positive. Right.
Baloney.
This is actually a good question from Sam. What game last... Oh, and Paul's back, so Paul can take part in the conversation.
Maybe.
What game last year showed...
Paul getting on his stool.
What game last year showed...
Oh, he goes down.
The most... No, he's still sitting. Showed the most glaring need...
Or standing.
Would you shut up? God almighty. What game last year showed the most glaring need for what you'll be watching for in our first pickup in the draft?
Most glaring need for what I'll be watching for.
See, actually, I think the most glaring need game was actually the Saints game. But I don't think that defensive back is the position that they need to target the most.
Well, if you could go one step
further
and say pass rush covers up a lot in the secondary.
If you want to take it that far,
you have a guy who's
yeah.
dominant off the edge.
Yeah, and that would the Saints game would be
sure.
A big example of that. But I would say that with the exception of the two Buffalo games, you could use pass rush for any of the games.
Right. Denver.
Denver was unbelievable. Now, ironically, the playoff game had nothing to do with that.
Right.
Because they,
no. Yeah, that was because you didn't have Seymour, as I predicted correctly before the season even started.
You were, but of course you said it was going to be Pittsburgh.
And I had him in the AFC title game, so I was a little too positive on my part.
Yeah, Pittsburgh didn't make the playoffs.
Well, there's a lot of factors that came into play there.
Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs. That was a factor.
Well, one of them was that they weren't good enough to make the playoffs. But
what about the playoff game?
What about the playoff game?
We're just talking about that.
I'm sorry.
It really is that seat. you just completely ignore anything that Paul
I was reading
said.
Emails.
Had nothing to
I
do
was
with
reading
pass
emails.
Rush. I had mentioned that, ironically, the pass rush had nothing to do with the playoff loss because the Ravens didn't even try to throw the ball. It was just all run defense and the ineptitude of the offense that day.
So maybe wide receiver was a glaring need position that stood out in that game?
I mean, that particular day, they couldn't protect Brady.
I was going to say.
It was everything.
On that particular day, quarterback was a position of need.
Right. I mean, like Andy and I like to say, as we are wont to say.
With a no.
Right. The total system failure that day.
Yeah, I would argue coach was an issue that day because the team wasn't prepared. And I think Mr. Kraft would argue the same thing because he has spoken many times this offseason about how that game left a mark and how disappointed he was in that effort and that game having been lost before they even took the field. So that was a top-down loss.
The preparation,
so everything was an issue.
Yeah, the coaching, you could say, well, what did the coach do? Well, clearly the preparation wasn't where it needed to be. Everybody and their
prior
brother
planning
knew exactly what the Ravens
did not prevent the piss-poor
no,
performance.
No, it did not.
Everybody knew what the Ravens' game plan was going to be, and yet the Patriots were powerless to stop it. So that's that was total system failure.
Kind of like the end of this show.
Sorry, I'm just
what
I'm
are you doing?
I'm scanning emails.
You suck.
I don't want to just read.
You don't have the stamina to go you through suck. 2 hours. No, he's fallen apart in the last 15 minutes.
I'm just reading. I'm catching up on my emails. I didn't get a chance
catch
to
up
do
on
that.
Them at home. Read emails on the air when you're the host of the show.
I'm not going to be like Fred and just read emails that have curse words in them.
But those are
curse
funny.
Words.
Those are much better than dead air. Dead air is not good. It's the death
air.
Of radio.
Dead air.
If we were on radio, we'd be in trouble.
That's a good point. We're not on real radio.
Luckily, the people don't have like preset buttons really on their computer that easily make it shift over to Maddie in the morning or
right.
something.
Tim from New Hampshire / Ohio. I'm in college in Ohio, he says. Guys, what would you think about trading, and oh, this is great. I love this. Brandon Merriweather.
Sure.
And a second to Kansas City for their first.
Sure.
To take a true playmaker in Eric Berry.
Sure.
We need a true playmaker to fill Rodney Harrison's void of last year, and I think Berry could do that. I don't think the Pats will be re-signing Merriweather at the end of his contract because he'll be selfish and want to get as much money as he can. Well, that's like every other player.
Wait a minute. We're trading Merriweather in a two? Is that what it says?
Merriweather in a two for a top 10.
Keeping 22 and I get Eric Berry?
Yeah, I would definitely be interested in making that trade.
Yeah.
Is there room in your car when we take Brandon Merriweather to the airport?
And one of you guys is going to have to step up and do that because I have a hard time getting around.
Oh,
I know, right?
Moses.
He'll want to get as much money as he can, and his value is high right now, so let's dump him and get better. KC owes us a favor after giving them, at the time, a franchise quarterback in Castle and team leader in Vrabel for a second-round pick.
So the window is closed on Castle being a franchise quarterback.
But I mean,
he's not a franchise quarterback.
I would make that deal in a heartbeat if Kansas City wanted to do that. I don't see them
doing
that.
Would you do swapping the ones or a one and, swapping the, I guess it's not swap. Yeah, it would be swapping the ones and a two.
And not Merriweather?
No,
I like it better with
Merriweather. I would still do it.
I would still do it too. I'm sorry, I was laughing at the conversation you were having with yourself when you called yourself on saying swapping wasn't swapping, but then you said swapping is swapping.
Voices in my head.
Gotta go.
Because it is swapping.
It is swapping. It is swapping. But I know. I knew. I didn't question it. It was you who questioned you.
I'm sorry, Andy. Not all of us can be so articulate right off the go without
the drugs.
About it.
It's got to be the drugs.
Yeah, that's
drugs.
True. Yeah. Well, he's been taking drugs for his surgery.
You know, in my conscience, wasn't up to speed. How he ever got into Tufts, I'll never know.
My genius.
So, but yeah, just Merriweather in a second-round pick. Oh my God, I can't do that fast enough.
You okay?
I would do that because I don't think a whole lot of Merriweather.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not quite the same feeling you get with Sam Bradford, but
I'm quite certain that Kansas City doesn't feel like they owe us one.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they got away with one, maybe, but I don't think they're gonna look at it that way either.
I actually think the Castle for a second round pick was fair value. I think that was an excellent trade for the Patriots. We can recall this time last year, I was never really in the camp a little bit before this time, but remember the talk about multiple ones that some people were throwing around there for Castle?
I mean, that was ridiculous.
I thought they would be very, very lucky to get a first round pick for Castle.
Now, Eric thought they would be multiple ones because he had him as, like, the fourth best quarterback in football.
Top five quarterback.
I did. I thought they would get a first round pick for him.
Which, by the way, is still
at the time.
He's got nothing around him in Kansas City.
No
line,
no
receivers, no nothing.
It's the opposite now. He was overrated.
Right.
Yeah.
And now he's being unfairly,
so maybe
I think,
in a year or two
dismissed.
He'll be rated where he should be.
Like
right.
the 16th best quarterback in football. The Matt Light of quarterbacks.
If that.
Another trade scenario, this one from Al and Callie. How does sending the Patriots second...
Okay.
Well, they have three of them, but a Patriots second, and the Raiders 11 first-rounder
okay.
to Denver. Oh, God, I don't like this one. For Brandon Marshall and drafting Carlos Dunlap with the 22nd.
Oh, no. Somehow he ended up with two
Two cards. Bad players.
Well, I don't know about Marshall being a bad player.
No, but I mean bad people.
Yeah, I'm just not...
Don't like that one
I'm
at
not
all,
on
Al.
The Brandon.
Sorry.
I don't feel the Brandon Marshall love. He's a terrific player. I'm not taking the talent away from him. I think he's a lot of headache that you don't need.
Yeah, I don't want any part of that Brandon Marshall thing.
Nope. Let's move on.
Now, listen, the facts are there. They've taken guys on. They've gotten the most out of malcontents. Dylan and Moss and whatnot.
But it's a different case.
It is to me.
It's a young player. There's a difference between an old guy looking for a last hurrah, you know, rekindle his career and his image and all that, and a guy who's early in his career.
Plus, I also think the things that Marshall has done, I would never have taken Dylan.
But you weren't stuck with Dylan or Moss. You're
Moss
stuck with Marshall because the only way you get him is to give him like a 5-year, $55 million contract.
Right. The Moss thing to me, I would do that. He was immature, in my opinion, early in his career. The difference between that and what Brandon Marshall and I think Corey Dillon, I think those guys, they were in serious trouble. They were in legitimate legal trouble.
Yep.
Moss was, he had the thing with the parking
in
attendant.
Yeah.
The
consensual
horse play.
He was barely moving.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't mean it didn't happen.
But he just kind of pushed her.
The Minnesota thing.
But that's what I'm saying. I was the one real brush with
the
law.
He wasn't trying to kill somebody.
The other stuff, most of the things that he's had trouble with, problems that it's been just immaturity.
Right.
Squirting the water bottle at the ref, leaving the field, just dumb things that it's not what you're looking for or anything like that. I'm not excusing it, but I think worth taking a chance on a guy. Whereas I don't want guys like Corey Dillon in my locker room. They did it. They got away with it.
Right.
Side note, Corey Dillon apparently weighs like 300 pounds now.
I'm not surprised. He weighed about 280 his last year here.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
I don't give a shit.
Oh, okay. Last one of the day, email from Roger in Chester, Virginia. Hey, guys.
Chester?
I'd
love to.
In my best Rodney Harrison voice, he says, what's up,
chest,
Paul Perillo?
Like chests. Her chest, get it?
Yes, we get it. Will or can a team take a 2011 draft pick for an RFA this year?
Will or can?
Can a team take a 2011 pick?
In other words, if you make it a trade, it can't be compensation.
Right.
For an offer sheet, but I suppose if it's a
trade, yeah, you can
trade.
That.
You can.
That's what Whitehurst was.
Yes.
It was a trade.
Yes.
I think you're correct.
Yeah,
right.
But not a strict
offer sheet. Not an
offer sheet
compensation.
You have to have the
picks in this year
in order to make it a valid offer sheet.
Right. So Roger's point is he wants to move the first rounder in 2011, either ours or the Raiders' pick, for a wide receiver or an outside linebacker.
Who's a restricted free agent?
He doesn't give names. He's just saying he wants a
Elvis
playmaker
Dumerville.
At either one of those positions.
Sure,
I think Elvis
Dumerville,
I think, would be legit.
Sure.
Legit one. Wide receiver.
Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, that's the name I think we keep coming back to.
I'm going
to
call him Bo when he gets here.
What's up, Bo? All right, well, that's 2 hours, guys.
Yeah, we petered out.
We did a little
bit.
We
were tremendous for an hour 45, and then you lost
it. That's usually how it goes.
And much like Brady lost it against the Ravens, the whole thing
went
down the crapper with you.
But on a positive note, we didn't have Bilo talking for a half hour straight.
It's true, but we had Paul.
Tomorrow you will.
Oh, yeah, because...
And Tony Pollini.
The beginning of the Draft Room with Brian Lowe debuts tomorrow. Tony Pollini from DraftInsider.net and contributor to SI.com. We'll join Brian at 12:15. All of your overall draft NFL questions, this is horrible. Just join us tomorrow.
But a BBC contributor named Andy Hart will not be part of that show.
And we'll be back noon Thursday.
NFL Network analyst Paul Perillo.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com radio.
The best is yet to come.